Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Harry, I'm a little man. It's quite a snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help send against you.
Thank you for joining in with us. And it is up. February 17th, 2012. Now I've been stuck at the computer all day watching news. There was nothing going on. Friday is a horrible news day. Sometimes it's worse than Monday, but Friday can be horrible. So yes, I rely on the news because that's what I'm here to do, to talk about the news, to give my opinion, to give you your news and views. I give you the news, I give you my views, and that's it. Bottom line. It's over with. But there just wasn't a lot. And there was some things to talk about, but those things were, to me, they were roughly boring. So I have to make them entertaining. That's my job. That's what I have to do. It's a self-appointed position, but that's what it is that I have to do. Make the news interesting when it's usually boring. It's an entertainment job that I have. So we've got plenty on tap. I looked, I scoured, I went everywhere. I avoided TMZ like the plague. I avoided People Magazine or, you know, any of the entertainment sites. I avoided them purposely because I didn't want to go fishing. I didn't want to have to talk about a Kardashian or a Brown, a Bobby or Chris, or a Bobby Christina. I did not want to talk about Brad Pitt or George Clooney. I did not want to talk about any of that garbage. I did not want to go fishing. I don't want to turn into E-News Special. That's not what I do. I don't like entertainment. Some people do that because it's easy. And you know who you are. Twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle. You know who you are. Sit around and talk about rap nonsense all day. Okay, I will admit I went to one website. And I have to put it out there. I have to put it on full blast. I did check out this website, and I was on it for an hour. I was on thisis50.com. I swear to you, I was on it. I watched 50 Cent's gangster videos today like you wouldn't know. They were shooting Asians in the music video. I swear to you. There's some music video that he's got with this little kid named Short or Bang Bang or Boom Boom. I don't know what music video it is, but it's on This Is 50. And 50 Cent and the short little rapper, they've got guns all through the music video, pointing them at the camera. And they are busting shots. They are busting hot ones, as they say, into Asians inside of some illegal gambling hall. There's blood everywhere. It is probably the most violent music video I've ever seen in my entire life. And I will admit this. The beat was kind of hot. Now, I would play it on here, but there's language everywhere. If there's a clean version, I'd play you a snippet. But I know the N-word and the S-word and the F-word and the whatever. See, when I watch these music videos, I watch two of them. I watch another one. It's 50 Cent and Tony Yayo, if you know who they are. And at the end of the video, 50 Cent is in disguise, and he goes into a bedroom with a knife, and he allegedly in the video carves up a young lady. That's how violent it was. That's the state of our music today. This is a 50 cents independent videos. You watch them at your own risk. But I'm sure the kids have seen this violence. It's the reason why they're killing each other every day, because their music sucks. Now, the Tony Ayo track wasn't all that hot. But the Bang Bang song, or whatever it was called, I don't know, remember the name of the song, whatever it was on This Is 50, the beat was hot. I didn't like so much about the Young Short Short, or Bro Bro, or Fink Fink, or Little Little. I don't know what his name was. I don't care. I could give two craps about him as a rapper. He sounds like everybody. Yes, he's a gangster. Yes, he's a killer. Yes, he's a murderer. Heard it all before. But, you know, I just had to check out 50 and see what he was up to. Because I can't say I respect the guy, but I like him. That's the best way to put it. I can't say I respect him, but I like him. Because what he does is violent and unnecessary. But I like him. All that while promoting an energy drink. I love it. It's brilliant. But as I said, that was the only entertainment I got involved in. I didn't do any other entertainment. I moved away from that. Jeremy Lin, of course, is playing tonight. That's going to be a game that everybody's going to be watching. I'm expecting them to be watching it. But there was some news today that I found alarming, because it's gotten the rounds in the news media. And I kind of thought it shows how far we've come as a country and as a people and as a society. And when somebody says something that's racially insensitive, we talk about it. It's racism all the time here on Reach on the Radio. If somebody says something that's sexually insensitive, we have to talk about it. Because that's what we do. It's Reach on the Radio. What I found alarming today was this is a campaign supporter of Rick Santorum. His name is Foster Freeze. And he's a good guy. This guy has raised money, spends a lot of money, helped the people in Haiti, helped the people in Hurricane Katrina. He's a conservative. He's supporting Rick Santorum. And he supported him with money, of course. And he was with Andrea Mitchell. Just recently. I think it was yesterday. And, you know, this big conversation about contraception has been going all over the place. Contraception, contraception, contraception. And the people on the left have been arguing about the fact that women need to get free contraception. They have to stop paying for it. People need to get new contraception. They need to get it all the time. And that's the big argument. It's the big distraction. So Foster Freeze, an older gentleman, is talking to Andrea Mitchell from NBC, and the interview kind of went like this. Okay, maybe it didn't go.
Do you have any concerns about some of his comments on social issues, on contraception, on women in combat, and whether or not that would hurt his viability in a general election campaign? Would he be the nominee?
Well, I get such a chuckle when these things come out. Here we have millions of our fellow Americans unemployed. We have jihadist camps being set up in Latin America, which Rick has been warning about, and people seem to be so preoccupied with sex. I think it says something about our culture. We maybe need a massive therapy session so we can concentrate on what the real issues are. This contraceptive thing, my gosh, it's such inexpensive. You know, back in my days, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to catch my breath from that, Mr. Freeze, frankly.
So what's the beef? He said back in the days, contraception was an aspirin. Girls used to put it between their knees and hold it. There's something sexist about that? Keep your legs closed. I mean, how else are we going to put it? Contraception is keep your legs closed.
Mama used to say it all the time.
Close your legs. Don't want to get pregnant.
In fact, old people used to tell you put a nickel between your knees, and if you drop it, that's your ass.
That's right. Close your legs. Keep them closed. Don't want to get pregnant? Throw that aspirin. Throw that nickel between them legs. Keep them closed. Stay off your back. Sleep on your stomach. Do what you got to do. Tuck yourself in.
Not highly recommended, sir.
What?
Not highly recommended, sir.
What, sleeping on the stomach?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not. You can still get pregnant that way. But you know the deal. Sleep alone. Say no. Say no. Don't want to get pregnant? Knock it off. But now, the only thing that they're arguing is that, listen, they want people to have sex. They want people to have sex any way they want to. Listen, the whole problem is that liberals want them to have sex anytime they want. Have sex, have sex, sex, have sex, have sex, have sex, have sex, have sex. Just keep doing it. Have it all the time. But get contraception. Because we just don't want no babies. We want you to have your fun. Just wrap it up. Plug it up. Take a pill. That's what they want. That's the whole idea. And he just said, look, back in the days, we told women, you don't want to get pregnant, don't have sex. What's so offensive about it? That's all I'm trying to figure out. Why is what Foster Free said so controversial? Put a nickel, put an aspirin between your knees? He didn't say put anything in any body parts. Did he? Why would she be taken aback? I don't seem to get it.
Do you have any concerns about some of his comments on social issues, on contraception, on women in combat, and whether or not that would hurt his viability in a general election campaign? Would he be the nominee?
Well, I get such a chuckle when these things come out. Here we have millions of our fellow Americans unemployed. We have jihadist camps being set up in Latin America, which Rick has been warning about, and people seem to be so preoccupied with sex. I think it says something about our culture. We maybe need a massive therapy session so we can concentrate on what the real issues are. This contraceptive thing, my gosh, it's such inexpensive. You know, back in my days, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to catch my breath from that, Mr. Freeze, frankly.
And he didn't say, now, would it be more offensive if he said, you don't want to have a baby? Tell him to pull out. Wouldn't that have been more offensive? He didn't say that. He said abstain. Why would there be an outcry saying that it was controversial? Come on, JC. Tell me.
Clearly, the onus is on the female. You're going to have the baby. I understand it takes two. Yes, it takes two.
Yeah, but
two,
I think that's what
question.
The problem was. That's
it
what
takes
the problem
two.
Was.
It this does take two, without question.
This is feminism on attack. This was feminism on attack, that he put the onus on the female to keep her legs closed.
This is your body. You're going to have to carry it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I don't want to stick around to hang around with it, with the kid, I'll bounce. But you're going to be stuck with it. So you make sure that that protection is there if you don't want to get stuck with this kid by yourself. Not to say that I would do that because you know me. I stood my ground for 18 years. Hell, I didn't get paroled until 2007-2008.
Mary, what about you? Did he say anything that was offensive?
Okay, wait a minute. Did you just say you didn't get paroled? I mean, why do you make it sound like it's such, like you've been jailed? It's such a horrible thing.
I didn't want to be with her.
President Obama?
You didn't have to.
President Obama said that he didn't want his daughter to be punished with a baby.
Yeah, President Obama is an idiot, and we know that. That was really stupid That was really stupid for him to say. But, I mean, you can't make it like it's such a horrible thing to have a baby. And, I mean, I don't find whatever this gentleman said offensive. I mean, that's what they did back in the day. That's how that's what your parents told you, to keep your legs closed, put an aspirin between your knees. And if, you know, if that aspirin drops, then you're not doing the right thing. If
that's right.
She was probably taken aback by that and had to catch her breath because she probably didn't expect for him to say something like that. She was probably, like, shocked that he used that verbiage.
But why would she be shocked?
Well, because she probably didn't expect for it to come out of his mouth. That's what I'm saying. Not that what he said was offensive or anything to that nature, but she probably just didn't expect it to come out of his mouth.
No, the grand old comment.
But what is so, I mean, okay, so she's shocked at what, Mary? What is she shocked at?
She was probably shocked that he said something like that. Not that what he said, it wasn't the context of what he said. It was maybe that it came out of his mouth, that he used that verbiage.
Not
that the verbiage was bad, but she probably wasn't expecting that. Maybe she was expecting something else. And when
a more modern way of saying it, maybe.
Andrea Mitchell is, if an offensive way was, it used to be cheaper, women just closed their legs. He could have said that, and that would have been taken out of context, too. I mean, what is with the fuddy-duddiness of somebody like Andrea Mitchell? And she's old enough to know. She's about the same age as Foster Freeze. She's heard that expression before. I'm sure her mother told her that. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous.
And she's probably one of the ones that dropped the aspirin.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because I don't hear anything in his statement, that suggests anything sexually inappropriate. I don't know. Telling a woman to close her legs, anything else would be forced upon, if you get my meaning. If Andrea Mitchell is trying to say, well, Mr. Freeze, are you suggesting that the onus is only on women when it comes to pregnancy? My response to be is, if the woman doesn't allow the man to have sex with her, then it's forcible rape. So, yes, I am putting the onus on the woman. If she's in a relationship with a guy that she's sexually active with, she runs the risk of getting pregnant if she does it and she's not careful. You are so worried about not getting pregnant? Forget contraception and not being able to pay for it. Close your legs. It's that simple. Say no. Not the right time. Use your head. In this case, maybe your legs. Now, James, have you heard this controversy with Foster Freeze, with telling a woman to put an aspirin between her legs, between her knees?
No.
Oh, you got to hear it. Okay. Let me play it again for you. This is Foster Freeze talking to Andrea Mitchell about contraception.
Do you have any concerns about some of his comments on social issues, on contraception, on women in combat, and whether or not that would hurt his viability in a general election campaign? Would he be the nominee?
Well, I get such a chuckle when these things come out. Here we have millions of our fellow Americans unemployed. We have jihadist camps being set up in Latin America, which Rick has been warning about, and people seem to be so preoccupied with sex. I think it says something about our culture. We maybe need a massive therapy session so we can concentrate on what the real issues are. This contraceptive thing, my gosh, it's such inexpensive. You know, back in my days, they used bare aspirin for contraceptives. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to catch my breath from that, Mr. Freeze, frankly.
So what's so controversial about it?
I don't know. It sounded like a joke to me.
It was a joke. It was a joke. A little outdated, but it's... I mean, come on. Is there anything about what he said that was controversial?
No. Not that I saw. The crowd laughed, so nobody else saw it that way either.
Apparently, everyone has. They've tried to attribute it to Rick Santorum because he is a Rick Santorum donor, and they're trying to say that because Foster Freeze made that comment, whether or not Rick Santorum feels the same way, that a woman should put an aspirin between a bare aspirin between her knees as contraception.
Well, he's a Rick Santorum supporter. Well, I could see where people would try to make that distinction, being that, you know, you must feel the same way. It happens all the time.
Right. Do you think it's a fair assumption?
I almost never do. But, I mean, just because one person feels another way, yeah, he may support me, but it's not like we share a brain.
Damn, I thought you'd go the other way on that.
No.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you are letting logic prevail on this one, James. I appreciate it. Well, no, because they tried to attribute it today. Today on CBS News this morning, Charlie Rose, in an interview with Rick Santorum, tried to equate Rick Santorum with the Foster Freeze comet. And Rick Santorum's response was, how dare you guys try to associate what this man says to my beliefs just because he made a bad joke? When Barack Obama was being railed against about Jeremiah Wright, a guy he sat in the pews for 20 years, married by him, had his children baptized by him. And when he was running out there talking about goddamn America and America's chickens coming home to roost and Hillary Clinton will never know what it's like to be called the N-word. When it was asked about Barack Obama sitting in the pews for 20 years, guys like Charlie Rose said, oh, Barack Obama doesn't feel that way. He doesn't agree with that rhetoric. He's not that kind of man. They did everything but they run interference for him. But now Charlie Rose, who openly defended Barack Obama in the Jeremiah Wright case, tries to associate Rick Santorum with a bad joke.
Well,
And silence takes over the Reese on the Radio Show. That's okay. It's all right. I didn't
expect. It's all right. No.
No. It's all right. It's all right because, James, no. I'm glad you see the logic in this. And I knew you would. I was teasing you about you wouldn't. It's so plain to see that this was a stupid attempt by the media to excoriate Rick Santorum over something that somebody said that was a joke. And the worst part is that it wasn't even a lie. It wasn't false, you know, that back in the day, women said that. Even J.C. said himself that his grandmother said you had to keep a nickel between your legs. You know, this is a term that people have used forever. I'm trying to figure out why Andrea Missile would lose her breath behind it. I'm a little taken aback. He said that a woman should close her legs if she doesn't want to get pregnant. Well,
and I was on a nice day, Reese.
What's that?
I was on a nice day when she was being nice about it.
Yeah. I mean, I could have said worse than that. Keep your legs down. Say no. Get yourself a heavy set friend and run interference when you go out to the nightclub. Oh, no,
girl.
Keep
your cat trap shut.
Oh, no, girl. You ain't going with him. You coming home with us. Everybody remembers that, broad.
You came to the cloud with us. You leaving with us.
There was a comedian who coined it, gave her a name. I think his name was Heffron or something like that. It's the We Gotta Go Girl.
Yeah, We Gotta Go Girl. Exactly.
We Gotta Go Girl.
Exactly. The contraception used to be your best friend. Oh, no, girl. You ain't going nowhere with him. You came with us, and we leaving together. She's the woman who invented the wingman. He's the one who ran interference for you. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's got a big girl with her who's obviously not going to get a date tonight. You take her so I can get to the girl. And what did the dude?
Give her a compliment and a burger. Just keep her off me.
And
he wasn't just
the wingman. What was he? What was it, James? What was the term we used to say? He used to take one for the team.
Take one for the team,
yeah. Yeah, for the team.
He took one for the team. And everybody.
All right, gentlemen.
Put on your baking cologne and go to work.
Gentlemen.
Hey, sweetheart. I've got fudge.
You're there, Mary?
Yeah, I am. If Reese takes me off of mute.
I don't have you on mute. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Yeah. Enough is enough.
What?
I'm sorry. Did we say that out loud?
Yeah, you did say that out loud. Very out loud. And don't make me throw... Don't make me throw at least two of you under the bus on live air. So keep talking.
The point of the matter is come on, Mary, you don't tell me that you don't know any girl that used to do that. You used to have the girl who was the designator blocker. You know? She was on the defensive line.
Yes, and females do the same thing. We have a female always with us to take one for the team.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, guys, go get that ugly one and tell her we all need a drink.
No, Big M from the group home didn't roll like that. Big M from the group home had her own dough, but there was always somebody that was with somebody else that nobody else wanted. So somebody had to be there to pick up the slack.
Yes, yes. In our crew, we called him the sucker.
And I bet you I know exactly who it is.
Oh, we've all played the sucker role.
Yeah, but for the most part, I bet you he was dark skinned. Really dark skin, and his name started with a T and ended with a Y.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
That's straight hard.
What happened?
God. I'm going to have to play this one back for him.
Oh, my God. Don't do that.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, we got James here. I've got to get you, buddy. Today, I've got you covered. Today, I've got you covered. If anybody who listened to us earlier this week, we talked about the mandate by Michelle Obama that was getting plenty of companies to change the packaging of their food. James didn't believe it was happening. But we have audio proof that a major organization, is changing its product to suit the needs of the First Lady of the United States when we come back right here on Reese on the Radio. It's so sad. I feel awful that I have to even, that this had to, it's just awful. That it's just awful. I just feel bad.
I think I'm going to need me some hush money from Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, when we get back on Reese on the Radio.
You're going to need to have a test one.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, so I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Today does mark the beginning of the end.
The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size. It is the right scope. It has the right priorities to create 3 to 4 million jobs. The federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life.
3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years.
Look at me. The stimulus is working.
Only 8 out of every 10 stimulus dollars for wind power have gone to foreign companies.
Not even a good junk bond.
Unemployment is still very high.
It appears that 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force in 1 month.
I'm not going to say the recession is over until the unemployment rate is down to normal levels, certainly in the 5% range.
It knew the cars would be assembled in 10 minutes.
The FBI raided bankrupt Solyndra.
Jobs in China.
$700,000 to create joke-telling software.
I didn't overpromise.
Shovel ready was not as shovel ready as we expected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
No matter where it was, but this story, I didn't think any way in the world that I would get proven. Doesn't matter. I didn't think that I was going to be proven right. Why? Because I don't believe in guessing. I don't guess. I just put the facts out there. And then when the facts finally come out, people realize them for themselves. And I have to admit, do I get a chuckle sometimes when I get this phone call? Yes. But I usually get a phone call probably about three times a week. On average, three times. It's probably a little more, but it's never less. I usually get a phone call three times a week that goes a little something like this. Hey, what's up, man? I hate it when you're right. That's what it's always said on the other side of the phone. I go, hey, what's up, man? What's going on? I hate it when you're right. They say it all the time. At least three times a week. Why? Because you don't need the news, to be honest with you. You don't need the news. I know the news before it happens. And in an argument that we had right here on Reason Radio this week, I talked about it, Mary talked about it, JC talked about it, and we tried to convince our good friend, the Kool-Aid Man. We tried to convince him that Michelle Obama was forcing companies to sign on to an initiative to change your food before you eat it. And I don't always expect it to happen. I don't always expect the proof to come out. It just does. And when it does, I have to bring it to light. I just have to. So I'll let our good friend Kool-Aid Man hear it himself.
Well, if you're a big fan of king-size chocolate bars, you may want to stock up. Candy maker Mars plans to cut the size of its chocolate bars and do away with the king-size Snickers bars. The company announced that it will stop selling all chocolate bars with more than 250 calories by the end of 2013. That means some regular-sized candy bars will be smaller. The move is part of an agreement Mars signed with Michelle Obama's Partnership for a Healthier America.
Now, they wait until the end of the story to say that it's part of the initiative, but you heard them yourself.
Well, if you're a big fan of king-size chocolate bars, you may want to stock up. Candy maker Mars plans to cut the size of its chocolate bars and do away with the king-size Snickers bars. The company announced that it will stop selling all chocolate bars with more than 250 calories by the end of 2013. That means some regular-sized candy bars will be smaller. The move is part of an agreement Mars signed with Michelle Obama's Partnership for a Healthier America.
Take it away, James.
Now, they said there's a sign in partnership with her company, correct? Or her
initiative.
Hmm?
With her initiative.
Right. Signed an agreement with Michelle Obama's initiative. Michelle Obama's. It's her initiative.
For a healthier America.
For a healthier America. I still said she made a suggestion. They chose whether they wanted to or not.
No.
The president's wife we're talking about.
They signed an agreement.
They signed an agreement. So?
You don't have to sign an agreement. If you want
to do so.
As a company, you don't have to sign an agreement. You just do what it is. James, as a company, you say, you know what, Michelle Obama, she's got a point. Let's just take some of the calories off of our Snickers bar and do it. they signed an agreement with a member of the White House. That is called government intervention.
Yeah, but... Okay, wait. Let's... Once again, I don't hear anything that says they were forced to do anything.
They signed an agreement in order to... They signed an agreement, which is basically like a contract.
That is a contract.
Contract?
Jamie.
I'm not disputing that anybody was forced, but our argument was whether or not the Obama administration, and specifically Michelle Obama, was running around telling companies to change their food at the processing plant before customers got it. Customer doesn't want a king-size Snicker bar? Don't buy a king-size Snickers bar because it's bad for your health. What does she do? She makes the company sign an agreement to rearrange its entire product
line. Now, she said they
should make. Okay, fine. I retract the word make. I retract that.
But you don't think that this company signed this agreement for just because they're thinking about the health of people. They make their money making people fat and unhealthy. That's how they make their money. That's how they're in business.
No,
step up on your Milky Way bars because they're coming off the shelves, Bill.
Newsflash. Newsflash, people.
Yes.
If I can come in here for 1 second. Now, Mary, you just mentioned...
Milky Way,
was it? And Milky Way is made by whom?
By Mars Company.
Mars M&M.
By Mars M&M. Well, if I'm looking at it correctly, I'm going through Hershey right now. M&M milk chocolates, peanuts, almonds, Reese Pieces.
We're looking at Hershey. Look at Mars.
Yeah, Hershey's is a separate company.
Yeah, Hershey's is a separate company. But looking at Mars is candy.
Where is this thing she wanted?
No. Is it Milky Way?
Yes. They're taking the Milky Way off the shelf because it has any candy bar that they sell that has 250 calories or more is coming off the shelf. So, hold on.
We're talking about maybe trimming back a smidgen because it's only 260 calories.
But it's coming off the shelf.
But the bottom line is
No. But the thing is that they're going to trim it. But there are only 11 of what I just counted of I think 40 candy bars out there total that come over that 250 mark. And many of those aren't.
Okay, and that's fine. So they're going to make them smaller. So maybe this is their initiative to make more money. Because you make them smaller, people will buy more. Because they have to buy more than one in order to get a king size.
I couldn't agree more.
I cannot believe you guys.
Listen, James.
Go for it, JC.
I'll give you, for example, Snickers Crunch Bar, as is, it's only 220. They're not going to touch it.
Okay, so fine. What are they going to do?
It'll remain that size.
What about Three Musketeers? Is that their company?
Yeah,
Three Musketeers. It's only 260. You're talking about shaving 10 calories off. That's not a whole lot.
But JC, the point is,
I think they're doing it just to satisfy her and her initiative.
But they're stupid. You let us. I want to be able to go. If I want to be fat and obese, then that's my choice. Then that's what I want to do. It's none of the government's business on what I spend my hard-earned tax-paying money on, whether it's a frickin' Snickers bar or a damn grapefruit. It doesn't
the point,
make
the point is, the point
gonna
is...
Start, oh wait, if they're going to start
you're
doing...
It's like you're letting 10, like 10 calories...
It doesn't matter.
No, that's not
James,
the point. The calories is not the point, JC.
It shouldn't be a calorie. It should not be mandated by a federal government or a government official or a member of the White House. It should not be mandated by them to make some company sign an agreement. In no way. This is private industry.
They're regulating what people spend their money on.
It is, James. It's a private industry. Tell me how Mars M&M makes its money through government.
First and foremost, the government didn't step in and do anything. All right? The first lady did. Now, the first lady, hold on. First and foremost. Here we go.
No, go ahead. Go, James. Go, James.
All right. The
she
first
is guilty.
Huh?
No, she's guilty, but I'm saying it's really an argument over nothing. We're talking 10 calories.
I understand, but
you're missing the...
I understand what you're saying, JC, that you're saying that it's only 10 calories.
It's like there's bigger fish to fry.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
That's not the issue. The caloric intake is not the issue.
No, that's not the issue. It's what we're talking about, and I understand. You're splitting hairs here on whether or not 10 calories means anything. We're not talking about that. We're talking about far-reaching government. This is
right.
This is Russia. This is China. In no way, no. You may... No. You are looking at this...
How are you saying that it's Russia or China? I mean, they didn't take them off the shelves, period. They didn't say you couldn't have candy. They didn't say any of that.
James. The bottom line is they signed an agreement with her.
Yes, the agreement was with them. They didn't go into this with another private industry and say that they were going to do such and such and such. To make this agreement with a government entity has signs and scope of government totalitarianism. No government under any other administration has ever done anything this sweepingly socialist or communist. No other administration in this country has ever changed. When have you ever seen a company come in and tell people to change their product from a government level? You've never seen it. You can listen to me. You can tell the country, James. You are old enough to drink, right? You're old enough to smoke cigarettes. You're old enough to smoke marijuana if you choose. The government's job is to only say, listen, James, you shouldn't drink. You shouldn't smoke. You shouldn't smoke marijuana. You shouldn't do drugs. We think that's bad for you. They have every right to do that. But when they start going after companies and telling private industry that are selling legal goods, and that's not the marijuana. I'm not including marijuana. But if they're selling legal goods that have been passed by the FDA in order for them to sell, and coming in and say, you've got to change your product. James, that is totalitarian. That is communist.
It's going to be easier.
I haven't heard anyone say you had to do it. I understand she went in and she lobbied for it. But no one forced anyone to do anything.
Okay, that's still the crux of
the argument. No one was forced to do anything. She didn't come in and say, hey, look, either you're going to do this or I'm going to shut you down. No.
Well, James,
that didn't happen that way.
We're not certain of that. Remember, this guy.
Oh, yeah, but you're so certain.
Hold on, James. And I'll ask JC. Hold on. I'll ask JC a question. JC, can you do me a favor? See if you can find out any information on this real quick. The Obama administration handed out waivers
I can't afford to keep coming out here for you to change your mind.
James? Well, let's put him on mute for a second. He sounds like he's handling a problem. James, you okay?
I'm saying, okay.
JC, if you can, see if you can find out for me. There was a story out about a year ago that a list of companies had received waivers from the Obama administration on its health care proposal. In 2014, maybe 2013, that health care provisions, the Obama Health Care Act, was supposed to take effect, but there were companies that were supposed to receive waivers from that health care mandate. So the health care mandate pretty much said like this. The health care that your company has, you have to switch over to this particular health care, and all of your companies have to sign on to this health care. But you can get a waiver for a certain amount of time to push it off to pretty much compensate for the loss.
It was a year.
It was about a year.
No, it was five.
Sorry, yeah. You get a five-year waiver so you don't have to buy in. In other words, your employees can keep the health care that they have. In essence, most people like Wells Fargo has told their employees that they will no longer be receiving health care because it's cheaper to pay the fine if they don't give their employees health care. So you get my meaning? So companies that were going to pay that fine got waivers. McDonald's got a waiver. And see if you can find out whether or not Eminem Mars got a waiver. Because I'm almost certain that that company got a waiver for this particular initiative to sign on with Michelle Obama. I'm almost positive of it.
They didn't do it just because they felt like, oh, we want to make fat people skinny, because you're still not going to make fat people skinny because they're just going to buy five candy bars, five 240 calorie candy bars versus buying one 380 calorie king size candy bar. Or they'll buy 14 bags of miniature candy bars.
It does nothing to keep people from eating candy bars. You know, this was just one of those things that I think Michelle Obama did, was saying, you know what, we can't get rid of the junk food, so we'll lower.
But eventually they will. I mean, this is the first steps to, these are baby steps to, like you said, a socialist
totalitarian.
Thank you. Say that fast three times. After a couple of drinks, it's the baby steps to that, because that's what's going to end up happening. They just want to control everything. I mean, soon they'll be telling us what kind of paper to wipe our behinds with. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well,
maybe they'll get somebody to come in and wipe our behinds after we eat one of their 240 calorie candy bars.
Look at what they did to the guitar makers in America. They came in, the FBI went in and raided the guitar makers here in America for not using the proper wood to make their guitars.
What is proper wood?
There was wood that they weren't allowed to get wood from certain countries. That they weren't allowed
because,
to buy.
But was there some kind of trade issue?
No trade embargo, nothing of the sort. They said that the wood that they were using, that they were always using, was now the federal government had decided that they're not allowed to use that. They raided them. They raided their company. So one day sitting up there doing businesses, and FBI agents come in there, literally badges and guns, and everybody's, you know.
And I bet you if you look into that, the government, people in the government, had financial ties into the companies that they were making them purchase their wood from.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because they were telling them that there were certain companies that they had to buy.
Yeah, and those government officials probably had some type of financial investment in those companies that they were making them purchase from.
Yeah, but this is just something. JC, were you lucky were you had any luck finding anything by any chance?
Funny information. I'm just getting my list together now.
Okay, so you're just getting the list, and is there any? Is it alphabetical at least?
No, I'm trying to find the list right now. It's telling me that in a couple places.
You can.
But
you
just gotta.
Right, real fast.
What's that?
You know how to search through it, right? Like just put in put in a keyword and search by keyword.
But you are getting some of the companies that got waivers. I know McDonald's is on the list. That's one of the large companies that got a waiver from Obamacare for the next 5 years, because that was a big story in every conservative newspaper and conservative magazine that I read, that McDonald's had received this huge waiver. And I think over a year ago, I think the number had reached 1,600 separate companies that had gotten the waiver. So I don't know whether or not they're on that, but I'm sure that Eminem Mars Eminem, excuse me, got something that compensates them on that level. They had to get a compensation. It just wouldn't make any sense if they didn't. It's baffling to me, but, you know, I don't know. He doesn't seem to see, and that's, you know, James, for that matter, doesn't seem to see that this is a sweeping takeover of companies. I'm going to get, see if I got anything here. Received waivers for Obamacare. I'll see if I can get anything on it and check on my end. But I'm certain, yeah, see, there's a...
Obamacare waiver mania.
Yeah, this is actually from MichelleMalkin.com, and this is an article she did back on, it says March 9th. Did that say March 9th? And I don't know whether or not that company, what did you get? Did you get anything close to it, Jay?
Not yet. They keep saying that they're showing at the list. When you go to the pages, the lists aren't on the pages.
Let me see
the list is disappearing.
I'm going to check and see if there's a cash copy of the list. Because if there's a cached sort of copy of the list, it should be here. Because Obamacare, you know, you figure if you're going to be signing on to something that sweeping, you know, you're going, literally, you're going into the production to, production room, and you're changing everything about what it is that you do, the way that you do business. That's going to cost you, you know, in some regard. And I understand what you're saying, JC. You're saying that the bottom line is... It's only 10 calories? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
You know, and I don't know. Let me see what I got here. Let me see. It was in the Mars Inks. It says it will stop selling the Sharks at over 250. It also makes M&M Skittles candy. Hills claims that you... Come, there you go. Booyah. I just found it.
Will you find it at James for America?
No. Hold on. I'm about to go to it right
now. I typed in M&M Mars Obama healthcare waiver.
Did they have one?
It looks like they're here, yeah.
M&M Mars restaurant? No, that's a restaurant. Hold on. I'm trying to see if you... I'm trying to see whether or not... No, that one's not letting me in.
Go to the next page.
Let me see. Total capital. Let's see if I got anything there. I'm not finding anything offhand. But according to the report that you have, you said you're seeing that they got a waiver?
Right. Hold on. James for America WordPress. Give me a minute, still. Give me a minute.
Okay, no problem. They're talking about
the Michelle strikes again at the king size candy, but I think it's in a related article. So I'm just checking there real quick.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find now. Whether or not there was actually a waiver that was given to M&M Mars or Mars Inc. Because I'm almost certain that if they received this, that would be clearly, you know, for me, it's like. That's not doing any honest consumer revamping of their product. They're getting something for it, and it's a quid pro quo. And as far as I'm concerned, it's, you know, it's dishonest. I mean, I don't even understand why anybody wouldn't see it for what it was. I don't know, milk powder spill. I don't even know what this is. None of these stuff. Making those evidence it could be affected since simple later. Yeah, most of this stuff is just saying the same thing. All right, well, we'll check and see whether or not we can find something on it, of course.
I'm sure it's out there. If it's out there, we'll find it.
Well, yeah.
We'll keep looking. Like I said, I mean, I understand fully what you're saying in terms of becoming a totalitarian nation. I mean, that's the last thing that... Me personally, I would want. I hope not to see it in my lifetime.
Yeah, trust me, it's going to make things a lot worse.
Well, we have one fan of Total.
Of course we do. It's disgusting. It's sad. We'll take a break.
Well, if you're a big fan of king-size chocolate bars, you may want to stock up. Candy maker Mars plans to cut the size of its chocolate bars and do away with the king-size Snickers bars. The company announced that it will stop selling all chocolate bars with more than 250 calories by the end of 2013. That means some regular-sized candy bars will be smaller The move is part of an agreement Mars signed with Michelle Obama's Partnership for a Healthier America.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, nada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the Radio. We're back live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. And it is, again, February 17, 2012, top of the hour, just 1 minute after the hour, 8:01 Eastern Standard Time. Now, I can't possibly go into this whole thing without James on the phone. He's dealing with a personal issue right now. We'll get him back as soon as we can. But I'd like to bring this up because I find this probably the most hypocritical there is. And I know JC says that he's a conservative to some degree. And he somewhat supports Barack Obama. Is that fair to say, JC? Yes, no, maybe so? Is it?
No, not even.
Oh, you don't support him at all?
No.
Okay, I'm right. Okay, no problem.
I thought you did support him. I thought you said you were going to vote for him, too.
No, I said I did vote for him, and I told you I voted for him for very selfish reasons.
Oh, okay.
But
So it's your fault we're stuck with this moron.
Yours, too.
No. I made an informed decision and went selfishly regardless. You weren't there crying tears of joy and happiness.
Oh, goodness.
You wouldn't know that biblical
shit. I can't help it. I love the black people. I'm sorry. I'm a sucker for a black man.
Yeah, you were.
Weren't in there crying. You weren't in there crying with your chitlin' recipe in your Bible.
I love the black people, but I ain't got no damn chitlin' recipe.
It's sad, but, you know. So I found this little tidbit, and this was something that I wanted to play because, you know, this is barely reported in the news. And I thought that it was important to play it just because. Now, everybody here knows the Occupy Wall Street crowd, right?
Yes.
JC?
Yeah.
You know the Occupy Wall Street crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do know that the Democrat Party was very instrumental in supporting the Occupy Wall Street crowd.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, here's a little tidbit of some of the things that the Democratic Party said out loud.
The protesters are giving voice to a more broad-based frustration.
My name is John Bechtel. I bring greetings and solidarity from the Communist Party. We are here marching side by side. We'll sleep here.
Sorry. Gotta stop. Barack Obama says that the Occupy movement is bringing a broad base frustration.
Thank you. protesters are giving voice to a more broad-based frustration.
My name is John Bechtel. I bring greetings and solidarity from the Communist Party.
Communist Party!
We are here marching side by side. We'll sleep here.
The message of the protesters is a message for establishment every place. The focus is on Wall Street, and justifiably so. And God bless them for their spontaneity. It's, you know, it's independent people coming. It's young. It's spontaneous. It's focused. And it's going to be effective.
Nancy Pelosi.
Well, here we have a group of people in a democratic way, not hurting anybody, saying they're fed up, they're angry, and that somebody should be doing something. I cannot possibly see anything more American than it.
Charlie Rangel.
My message is your presence is making a difference. You're exercising the right every American holds most dear, the right of freedom of expression.
The American Nazi Party is urging followers to get involved. The Socialist Party USA is also asking its supporters to stand with the protesters and not to be outdone. Communist Party USA is telling members to be a part of the movement at every level.
The man who is the Frank in the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform legislation. Congressman Frank, thanks very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Do you believe that the Occupy Wall Street movement is changing the democratic strategic consideration of Wall Street and economic populism broadly? Do you think it's lit a fire into the Democrats at all?
Rachel, I do have to say some of us have been trying to do this for a while. Secondly, I will say this, I hope they will.
So there you have it. You have Barack Obama, you have Nancy Pelosi, you have Representative Charlie Rangel, you have Representative Barney Frank of Massachusetts. They are all throwing their support towards the Occupy Wall Street movement. Obama's first.
The protesters are giving voice to a more broad-based frustration.
My name is John Bechtel. I bring greetings and solidarity from the Communist Party.
Communist Party.
We are here marching side by side, we'll sleep here.
Nancy Pelosi.
The message of the protesters is a message for establishment every place. The focus is on Wall Street, and justifiably so. And God bless them for their spontaneity. It's, you know, it's an independent people coming. It's young. It's spontaneous. It's focused. And it's going to be effective.
Here we have a group of people in a democratic way, not hurting anybody, saying they're fed up, they're angry, and that somebody should be doing something. I cannot possibly see anything more American than it.
My message is your presence is making a difference. You're exercising the right every American holds most dear, the right of freedom of expression.
So what my question is if all of those Democrats, high ranking, Nancy Pelosi, Charlie Rangel, people know these people. The Communist Party openly says that they're there. We're here with you. As Brett Baer says in his report, the Nazi Party, the Communist Party,
the Socialist Party,
go out there and support these people's movement. Barack Obama says in a press conference that he understands their broad-based frustration. They're all there. These are Democrats. Touting the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Which is touting socialism.
Right. Exactly. And then I heard this.
Where? Obama, beware. Occupy is everywhere. Obama, beware. Occupy is everywhere. Obama, beware. Occupy is everywhere. Obama, beware. Occupy is everywhere.
What brings you guys here today?
That.
So, tell me about this $35,000 plate dinner.
Basically,
Obama is having a dinner that you have to pay $35,000 a plate to get to, well, there's people in the same city starving on the streets and don't know where their next meal is coming from. A third of the children in this country are in poverty right now, or they're food insecure, which means they don't know where their next meal is coming from. And the president, who says that he supports the 99%, is having a dinner where you have to pay $35,000 to see them. He panders and he tries to say that he's on our side and supports us, but then he goes out and has two fundraisers.
So what brings you here today at the same time that the president is meeting with donors?
Okay, so I'm Frank Tamborello, and I'm with a group in Los Angeles called Hunger Action LA. And we're here because the fundraiser for the president is $35,800 a plate. And it's not that I couldn't scrape up the money to go to it, but that could feed 17,000 people. Because
mm-hmm.
you can make a meal for $2. And there is a huge crisis of hunger right now in America since the recession. We have 46 million Americans right now, more than ever before, depending on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the food stamp program.
Are you disillusioned with the president today?
I am personally, because you know a lot of us put some effort into getting him in there and to change. And what I think it may be is that there's a system, there's sort of an empire there, that it doesn't matter who gets in, there's some machinery that you have to fit into.
So is it excusable?
Is it excusable that there's such a...
Because of the systemic nature of the process. I mean,
well,
is it excusable that the president is... having this event, is coming to this fundraiser.
No, I don't think it's an excuse for it. I think it's a reason why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're part of that system. And I think what we have to do is remind people that the government is we the people.
As an advocate for the poor, how do you feel about the president's track record the past 4 years?
It has been poor.
So, here are people who openly said that they supported Barack Obama, that they voted for him. They got him in. And they're the ones who are out there screaming,
"Beware! Obama! Beware! Occupy is everywhere! Obama! Beware! Occupy is everywhere! Obama!"
James?
Yes?
What's the problem? I played you two pieces of audio with Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Charlie Rangel, and even Barney Frank. We're supporting the Occupy Wall Street people. They were their people. They were the antithesis of the Tea Party. They were concerned about the 99%, as you are. You believe that there are rich, fat cats in this country who are not taking care of the rest. This is a group that has pretty much fashioned themselves by that same ideology. And who are they screaming at now? That they are upset that Barack Obama is out there having a dinner that's $35,800 a plate. Is their argument baseless? And they go ahead. I'm sorry, you continue. I apologize.
No, go ahead. Finish your question.
No, I was going to say, because the bottom line is that they're the ones who Barack Obama said that their frustration was brought, but we know who was there. Socialists, communists. They were saying that these people, they were expressing what Barney Frank even says in the audio, that Occupy Wall Street is doing what his party has been trying to do for a long time.
Which is make this country a socialist, communistic country. We're going to turn into Russia.
They hated the Tea Party. The Tea Party was called racist. The Congressional Black Caucus accused members of the Tea Party for spitting on them and calling them the N-word as they walked up the Capitol steps. This Occupy movement was young, spontaneous, as Nancy Pelosi put it. And who is Occupy screaming at today? So you could have said, the Tea Party, they hate Barack Obama. And then here the Democrats saying, yeah, we got the antithesis of that. And what's the Occupy movement doing?
Obama, beware. Occupy is everywhere. Obama, beware. Occupy is everywhere. Obama.
So what's it going to take? Now two groups who used to be the antithesis of each other are both screaming the same thing. Obama, you got to get out of there. We're done with you. What's it going to take?
What I'm hearing is the fact that, okay, first and foremost, you're always going to have a group or any group on whatever side you're doing who's always going to have something wrong because it's never enough. Right? If they're frustrated because they think he's not doing enough, that's their perfect right to do so. And as far as Pelosi and Obama, they're saying, okay, well, again, what is more American? You saw that there's a group of people who were frustrated. You got together, you organized. You went out and you voiced your frustration. In this country, we are allowed to do so, are we not?
Okay, yes, in this country, at this moment in time, we are allowed to do so. But did you not hear? And wait a minute, allow me to finish, James. Did you not hear that these people were socialist and communist? And in a socialist and communist, wait, let me finish. In a socialist and communist country, we the people do not have that voice any longer. That voice has been taken away because in a socialist and communist country, the government runs everything, which means me, you, and every dog, cat, and rabbit running the street. One part of this, it's like, to me, it's so unbelievable because if you listen to, and Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and everyone else is supporting these people. They're glad that they're getting out there. They're glad that the young, dumb, ignorant people are out there talking about we support communism. We support socialism. Like, are you idiots?
No one ever said they supported communism.
Yes, excuse me, yes, they did. They said that they were representing a communist community, a socialist community or a communist group.
Hold on.
The protesters are giving voice to a more broad-based frustration.
My name is John Bechtel. I bring greetings and solidarity from the Communist Party. We are here marching side by side. We'll sleep here.
The message of the protesters is a message for establishment every place. The focus is on Wall Street and justifiably so. And God bless them for their spontaneity. It's, you know, it's an independent people coming. It's young. It's spontaneous. It's focused. And it's going to be effective.
Here we have a group of people in a democratic way, not hurting anybody, saying they're fed up, they're angry, and that somebody should be doing something. I cannot possibly see anything more American than it.
My message is, your presence is making a difference. You're exercising the right every American holds most dear, the right of freedom of expression.
The American Nazi Party is urging followers to get involved. The Socialist Party USA is also asking its supporters to stand with the protesters. And not to be outdone, Communist Party USA is telling members to be a part of the movement at every level.
The man who is the Frank in the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform legislation. Congressman Frank, thanks very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Do you believe that the Occupy Wall Street movement is changing the democratic strategic consideration of Wall Street and economic populism broadly? Do you think it's lit a fire under the Democrats at all?
Rachel, I do have to say some of us have been trying to do this for a while. Secondly, I will say this, I hope they will.
Okay, James, so did you hear when they said the socialist groups and the communist groups...
Communist Party USA.
Yeah, and Socialist Party USA is telling people to come out and support them as much as possible, and that Nancy Pelosi is happy as a pig in crap that these idiots are out here doing whatever it is that they're doing, trying to get more young, ignorant people involved because no one has any clue of what they're getting themselves into. And Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and their whole party is their biggest fan because that's what they want to do, turn this country into a communist and socialist country and then blame it on these young ignorant morons that are out here preaching this crap.
Stalin said it best. when he called the people in Russia useful idiots. And what it is that why I use the term useful idiots was, you know, you feed them propaganda, they believe it, even if it's at the detriment to their freedom. And these people in the Occupy movement are useful idiots because they're young and they want someone else to pay for their lives. And this whole argument about economic equality that the Occupy Wall Street is screaming about is exactly what Barack Obama believes in, economic equality. Nancy Pelosi believes in that. Barney Frank believes in that, in regulating businesses and what they call spreading the wealth, which is exactly what Occupy Wall Street stands for. So my argument is this. If the Tea Party was against that and they rallied against Barack Obama and they were railed against, they were called racist, they were called angry white people when they were against Barack Obama, and now here's the Occupy movement saying that they're fed up with him too. So you have people on the right and people on the left saying that he's doing a horrible job. My question is, it's clear that this man is not in any way united this country and has been beneficial to it. Is that fair to say based on both arguments?
What? No, that is not fair. All right, first of all, again, you're never going to get everyone to say that you're doing a great job. You're never going to get everyone to agree on everything that you say or do. No one would, not just Barack Obama.
Okay, again, and with that being...
Let him continue. Go ahead, James.
Going back to what you were saying about the communist community and the socialist community, look, all right, in any situation where you're trying to protest or anything, you're going to find either a fringe group or some other group that may figure out, okay, well, we can jump on this too, all right? The way you're trying to put it is that only the socialists, there are only socialists and there are only communists out there touting that Wall Street should be a little more responsible in what they're doing.
I didn't say that.
No, and I didn't.
Doesn't mean that the whole thing is going, is we're trying to turn the whole country into a communist or socialist country.
No, but James, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Those people said that. Wait a minute, James.
What you said is because of these groups that showed up and said they supported it. Right,
James, the president
supported them.
The president supports the fact that there are communists, that there are communists and Nazi-like people. Did you hear them talk about the Nazis as well? I mean, this president and Nancy Pelosi and all of their people, their cronies, support a communist and socialist and Nazi-like movement, and that is what is happening. And when you can open your eyes and see that, this has nothing to do with Barack Obama being black. This has nothing to do with black people being oppressed and no one wanting to recognize that or anything. This has to do with all of us as Americans wanting to continue to live our free will in this country as we were given the right to when we were born in this country. If you can wake up and smell that, then maybe we can move on somewhere else, because you're not seeing that. All you're seeing is that we're bad. All you're seeing is that we're bashing Barack Obama, and I think that maybe you only see that we're bashing Barack Obama, which I was a supporter of at one time until I educated myself with the help of Reese on the radio and JC. So
I don't want credit for that one.
Listen to what is really going on. It's like you hear things, but you're only hearing what you want to hear. You're filtering all this other stuff. Don't filter that stuff. Open your mind and let your mind be free to hear all of it. And the most important stuff is this: if we don't get him out of office, this country is going, your freedom as a black man in this country, if you think you're oppressed now, honey, you are really going to be oppressed in the next 4 years.
Okay, now,
we will all be oppressed.
I have a question with regard to the recording itself. Mm-hmm. First off, I believe that Barack Obama and those higher ups in the Democratic Party supported the Occupy movement because of what it stood for at one time. it appears that slowly over time, the movement has changed.
Well,
it has evolved into something totally different.
To be fair, you are absolutely right, JC. There was a lot of fringe groups that completely took over the movement in and of itself. That being said, you did, James. James, you did. Let me finish. The breakdown of the Occupy movement and their issue, why they called it Occupy Wall Street, was that they believed that Occupy Wall Street got all the wealth while the rest of the country got nothing. That was the movement, and that was what Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry
supported.
That's what they supported. Now, that being said, if your movement is so legitimate, as Nancy Pelosi said, it was fresh, it was bold, it was new. If it truly was, and if it was really relevant, why did it lose focus?
It lost focus because as Americans, we don't tend to stand up a great deal for what we believe in.
The Tea Party.
We'd rather be off doing other things.
But the Tea Party never lost focus, JC. The Tea Party got members of Congress elected. The Tea Party movement was such an effective movement. You have guys like Alan West. You have guys like Rand Paul.
And we're also talking about two groups of people with total financial separate classes. All it takes is money to get someone elected. Occupy doesn't have it. Tea Party damn sure does.
Well, that's because the Tea Party movement was organized. But hold on. It gets better than that.
There's money in a Tea Party, though.
Sure there was money. No. The Occupy people had money. The Occupy movement was getting donated money out the wazoo. Media Matters, MSNBC, New York Times, The Washington Post. They were all contributing money to the Occupy Wall Street movement.
And Occupy Wall Street never, ever, ever had any clear structure.
It never had
any clear structure. Never had a leadership. It was just a bunch of people doing what was cool for the time and protesting and sleeping in parks. Because it was a cool thing to do.
But what about the 99%? They said they represented the 99% in this country. What happened to them?
I don't know what 99% that they represent, but
we are the 99%. This was a president who agreed with the Occupy Wall Street movement that said that there was income inequality. That said that.
Right, we're talking about the recording. But it seems like to me the recording was taken very early on and during the movement, and the comments were spliced in from what's current today.
Well, they went from day to day. They went from as each part of the movement continued on. I think that, remember, this was the whole bottom line. Nancy Pelosi thought that the Occupy movement was a grassroots movement that was the antithesis of the Tea Party. Everyone used every possible stereotype of the Tea Party movement. They called them racist. They went to a black man on NBC. They went to a black man and said to him, and I quote, "Don't you feel uncomfortable around all of these white people?" And he said, "No, these are my people. We are here not about race. We are here about the economy. We hear about this president destroying the country." And they still wanted to make it about racism. That being said, what did the Occupy movement, who did they rally against? I mean, who did they scream against? Not just Wall Street. They were out there screaming against the Jews. There were anti-Semitism rallying all through that, and no news organization covered it. Not the Times, not the Washington Post.
Like I said, it was organized chaos.
No.
They were talking about the Zionists.
They were talking about the Zionist Jews in week one. I have the tape on my cell phone.
I don't doubt that. Like I said, it was something to do. It was something to do that people got involved with. that they weren't passionate about, and it was like a passing fad.
Until it got violent, that's how I see the Occupy movement. Until it got violent, until women started being raped.
Right.
You had the extremists move in,
and that's why it's become the system that it is now.
But they were screaming to the rafters, and you saw that, you heard the interview with Rachel Maddow with Barney Frank when he said that we've been trying to do this for a long time. Rachel Maddow was one of the biggest supporters of Occupy Wall Street. Yeah,
no.
Stick it to the man. These are people who are supposed to be a part of the press. They were finding every popular thing that they could possibly say about the Occupy movement. Now they won't say one thing about them.
Well, it's an Occupy lockup, as far as I'm concerned.
And we can't move into a society where there is income or monetary equality. This country just doesn't work that way. This country is
no, it's never worked that way, and it's never going to work that way.
And it
should never get to that point.
Because I don't want to pay for somebody that doesn't want to get up and go do something for themselves.
Well, you're gonna. It's the way this country. Listen, if the system ain't broke, how much fixing can you do to it?
The system is broke.
No. Well, not so much that. Well, it works. The wheels are turning.
The wheels are turning, but they don't have
this
all...
This machine is rolling. The machine is rolling.
James, do you have anything else to add? You believe that... Okay, so the president can't please everybody.
No, he can't.
James, let me ask you this then.
What president ever could?
Okay, so I'll ask you this fair question.
Well,
then.
What president could ever displease so many people?
Fair question. Who is Barack Obama pleasing? What group is he pleasing? Because I can talk all day about who he's not pleasing. Who is he pleasing? Who's benefiting from the policies of Barack Obama?
I believe a lot of people have benefited from his policies.
Please give me a few.
Well, actually, the middle class.
They're hurting because
the middle class was disappearing. Steadily. And everyone was, before Barack Obama, the focus was on the top down. He decided to change that focus. And no matter what you say, there has been, you know, whether the stimulus worked as well as he thought it would, it still stimulated something because a lot of commerce happened. People went back out to the stores. Beforehand, everybody was hoarding.
James?
And then...
You mentioned the stimulus package. Do you know what today is, ironically?
I'm sure you know what happened today?
Well, I'll tell you. Today is the third anniversary of the stimulus package. Did you know that? And this ad came out today.
Today does mark the beginning of the end. The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size, it is the right scope, it has the right priorities to create 3 to 4 million jobs. The federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life. 3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years.
Look at me, the stimulus is working.
Only 8 out of every 10 stimulus dollars for wind power have gone to foreign companies.
Not even a good junk bond.
Unemployment is still very high.
It appears that 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force in 1 month.
I'm not going to say the recession is over until the unemployment rate is down to normal levels, certainly in the 5% range.
It knew the cars would be assembled in Finland.
The FBI raided bankrupt
manufacturing jobs in China.
$700,000 to create joke-telling software.
I didn't overpromise.
Shovel Ready was not as shovel ready as we expected.
The Republican National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
James, it's 3 years after the stimulus package. You heard everything it is that every person in there said. And that woman who says, by the way, the woman who says that I'm not going to be satisfied until unemployment reaches to the 5% level was the head of the Budget Committee who quit after unemployment skyrocketed. That was Obama's appointed budget director. She quit. She said, I'm not going to be satisfied until unemployment reaches 5%. You heard everything he said. This sweeping, the only people who are going to be able to save this economy is the government. $8 out of $10 in the stimulus package went to foreign companies. There were cards that were developed in Finland.
Yet this president keeps talking about how we need to bring jobs back to America. Well, you need to bring that $8 out of $10 back to America.
$8 out of $10, James. The stimulus did not work. He said if we pass this, it is going to we're going to hire 3.5 million people. It never happened.
And then what was it? Like 170 million people dropped out of 170 million people dropped out of the workforce.
1.7 million
in 1 month.
In a month. 1.7 million people dropped off the face of the earth in the unemployment rate in a month after he signed that bill.
Started selling crack.
Unemployment reached 10.1%, and he says it himself.
Today does mark the beginning of the end.
The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size, it is the right scope, it has the right priorities to create 3 to 4 million jobs. The federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back into life. 3.5 million jobs.
How in the hell did the government have the government is the only entity? The government has no money. It's a zero-sum game. It's money. The government didn't pay for that stimulus package. The American people did.
That's right. And the American people stood behind it.
No.
No, they did not.
We had
James.
A Democratic Congress and a Democratic
if they
Senate.
If they didn't stand behind it, the man wouldn't have got elected. The man, it wouldn't have passed because it did come to a vote.
Okay.
Let him finish. It did come to a vote, James, but I just told you, Barack Obama in the first 2 years, James, 3 years ago, Barack Obama had a Democratic Congress and Senate. They controlled the House and the Senate. Of course it passed. They were all Democrats. The Democrats ran the House and the Senate. Of course it passed. He got the votes because he had people in his party. It was the first. Do you understand what today's date is? Today's date is February 17th. February 17th, 2009, he wasn't in the White House for 4 weeks, James. He wasn't in the White House for 4 weeks. He was inaugurated on the 20th of January.
Okay. And again, he was inaugurated because he got voted in. He got voted in because he said he was going to for the stimulus package. So,
He didn't get voted in for this.
No, it was not. He got voted in. You know why he got voted in, James? Because people like you and me were duped into voting for him.
He said that he knew what he was doing. He did. He said that he knew what he was doing. And you hear him in the opener. James, listen to what he says.
Today does mark the beginning of the end.
The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size. It is the right scope. It has the right priorities to create 3 to 4.
It says it has the right scope. It has the right priorities. He said that. He didn't say, I think, or I'm pretty sure it will. He said it's the right size and it's the right scope. These are his words.
And he also said that it was the most sweeping economic package in the history. Well, yes, it did sweep us. It swept us right out of the U.S. dollar.
Again, right size and right scope doesn't bring unemployment to 10.1. Now, all I'm asking you is this. And just admit, he didn't know what he was talking about.
I understand. No.
If he knew what he was talking about, we wouldn't be in the predicament we were in today.
Did he know what he was talking about?
If it was the most sweeping economic package in the history of the United States of America.
Right size, right scope.
Would we be where we are today? Yes or no? unless by him saying sweeping meant sweeping under the carpet or sweeping out of the American dollar.
Okay, he is the man in charge, James. Right size, right scope. His words, no one else's, right?
Yep.
Did it work? Yes or no?
I'm still saying that, you know, a lot of that was when people got that money, what they did with it, all right, he couldn't actually control, all right, and a lot of it was playing fast and loose. With that stimulus package, it didn't go where it was supposed to go. So, yeah, things are, you know.
What do you mean it didn't go where it was supposed to go? The government doled out the money. The government gave the money.
The government doled out the money, gave it to certain companies. They gave it to certain companies, certain things. All right, those companies.
James, he didn't give it to companies. He gave it to groups. Most of the money went to police, fire, and teachers. You do know that, right?
Police, fire, and teachers. Okay.
Yeah, it was sent to unions. It was sent to unions. It was sent to union jobs, police, fire, and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the same unions that today are embarking on the white collar workers that earned all of their retirement, that earned the money that they were supposed to make.
That's right.
That are now being duped out of anything. Who was it? GM? Is it GM that's owned by the union?
GM.
United Auto Workers. I just heard a story on the news this morning, on a talk show this morning on WMAL, of how the white collar workers are being basically crapped on because the blue collar worker, now because it's run by blue collar workers,
yeah, it's run by the
union. So now the blue-collar workers are saying, hey, you know what? We don't like you because you're white-collar workers and you may get more, you may be more pristine than we are or be seen as more pristine than we are because you're not out actually doing the labor. You're just doing your paper pushers. So we're not going to give you any more raises. We're not going to give you any of the money that you've worked for this company for 34, 40 years that you've earned because now we own it.
And
the government gave us that right.
It's funny that you say that, Mary, because the head of the United Auto Workers is now the head of GM. You do know that, right?
What? I didn't hear that.
The head of the United Auto Workers Union is the guy that Obama put in charge of General Motors.
Okay.
Okay, so when I tell you that 804, maybe 830, somewhere in that range, $840 billion, that money was given to unions.
Okay, and didn't GM pay that all back?
Actually, James, how can they pay it back on cars that the government is giving subsidies on? In other words, you buy a Prius.
I know that there's just been a whole lot of coverage on the fact that GM is now in the black and they paid up all their bills.
That's right.
And they're back, correct? They paid off everything that was given to them, correct?
Yes, they have. But but that's just one entity. What about the police officers and the teachers union and the firefighters?
As I said. The money was given to them. Yes, the money was given to them. What they did with it?
How does the teachers union, the police union, and the firefighters union create jobs?
I'm sorry, what?
How does the teacher, fire, and police unions create jobs?
Well, let's see. If they were given the money, and they had a bigger budget, they could hire more people, correct? That creates jobs.
That's not what a union does. It's not what a union does.
And where did that money come from? That money came from the government. The government has a bank account. They just pulled that money from. That bank account is called the American
people. And they borrowed
taxes.
Correct. And the American people, again, who voted for the man, decided, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to allow this to happen because they wanted it too.
James, you're wrong.
We didn't just
was elected.
Say, okay, let's go.
Elected in November of 2008.
Okay? You're breaking up.
He was elected in 2008. He wrote the policy of 2009.
I'm only hearing you every other word.
I don't know why we're getting. Hold on for me one second. Let me see if I can do something. How about now? Any better? Okay. Yeah, you know, thank you, JC. That's what
the problem. Headphones echoing.
My headphones echoing?
Okay, let me put it to this way, James.
It's very simple. Simple and plain, bottom line. The deal is this. First and the most foremost, as you like to put it, is that Barack Obama was not hired because he told the American people he would sign the stimulus package. It's not the reason why he was elected. He was elected because he said that there would be sweeping change in the American government. He promised that that's what it was that would happen, and he would do that. He did not promise the stimulus package until he became the president of the United States and signed it on this day in 2009. Now, he had it voted on. It was voted on, and it passed a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate. What did we get for it? Well, he promised that the unemployment rate would not reach above 8%. It did worse than that. The unemployment rate skyrocketed to 10.1. It's that simple. And in skyrocketing to 10.1, what did it do? Did it hurt the American economy? Of course it did, because the money went to his cronies who supported him and elected him. Let's take a call. The number is 347-308-8701. Mr. Pianchi, is that your name, sir?
Pianchi, how you doing?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you, sir? Welcome to the show.
I see that you are being critical of the office of president. And rightfully so.
Oh, okay.
You was holding your breath there for a minute.
Yeah, I was for a second. Thank you, sir. How can we help you?
But you know, I'm going to tell you, I can't understand how Americans can be so challenged that this payroll tax decrease,
sure.
How are they letting that go by and not understanding what it's doing to their Social Security Trust Fund?
Yeah, you know what? That's a very interesting point. And let me explain to you why I have the biggest issue with that legislation being passed today. I think, and I will believe this for as long as I live, I think that the Republican Party has taken such a lashing, not just in the media, but just as a whole, that they wanted to do whatever it was that they could to appear to make some sort of compromise with this president to improve its own approval ratings at the risk of doing what it, did you hear with the Democratic congressman today that took umbrage with President Obama and Joe Biden today? And I always want to say Tom Daschle, but it's not Tom Daschle. He's going to come to me in a second, and I lose it because I just saw him not too long ago. They know that this is going to take such a stab and such a huge – it's going to be detrimental to Social Security. Why they don't see that, I have no idea.
Well, but Congress to see is one thing. But all it would have took was a flood of telephone calls to Republican Congress people's office to make them say no. And the thing is Americans are just plain either. They just drunk. They couldn't see this. And it's the old taxing. Well, this is actually bar. They're not taxing. But it's not a – Social Security is not – it's a benefit. You pay into it for yourself. It's not a tax, the Social Security portion of the tax. Why come they didn't decrease the federal portion – of the wage tax by 4%, which the federal portion averaged around 16% upwards.
Right.
They just want to have more money to spend.
Well, that's exactly. That's always the problem. And I've said this, and a lot of my conservative counterparts have said this, especially about what's considered the new Republican Party. There are no real fiscal conservatives anymore. Most people are involved in politics today, be they conservative, be they, well, Republican, be they Democrat. Everyone wants to be in charge of the money. But let me break down exactly what you said about Social Security. Today, Social Security is nothing more than a Ponzi scheme. It was never that way when it was signed, as a way to benefit people. And you use the word benefit. Before 50 years ago, this was absolutely unheard of. People got retirement. People had pension, whatever it was that they had. But now Social Security is doing nothing more than people pay in, and there's a possibility that they may or may not get their money. The bottom line is that they needed entitlement reform, and they needed to go after what they considered are benefits in this country. And Social Security is always the first to take a hit. That's the problem. They won't go after welfare. They will never go after welfare. And it's easier for this administration and those in the like to go after the elderly in this country and those who will become elderly in this country. It is a young versus old society in Washington. That is the reason why Social Security is going to take the hit, and it will take the hit based on this legislation. I mean, can you fairly agree with that?
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And this, when Obama came into office, the portion of the debt that was allocated to every man, woman, and child in the United States was about $35,000.
Certainly.
By 2011, in the last year, it was up to about, what, $50,000? In another 10 years, it would be up to $80,000.
Yeah, I got those numbers yesterday.
That is about as good as indication to let you know how well things are going. It's just getting totally ridiculous. And that's just on the national debt, which runs from October the 1st to September the 30th of every year.
Where are you calling from, Mr. Is that
Bianchi?
I'm calling from St. Louis. But, you know, let me run some other things about you, what happened.
Sure.
Americans got duped real good. Americans used to get paid due to their productivity increase.
Certainly. Absolutely. I believe in that whole
thing. Right,
that's how I grew up.
But what happened is technology came along, okay, and the productivity, the wage increases that Americans used to get for productivity increases went to those people who was carrying the productivity. They turned around and lent it back to them through the form of credit. Look at the type of debt that American citizens have. They couldn't continue to get wage increases, so what did they do? They turned to credit.
Right.
And they ran their credit up to some tremendous astronomical terms. And now look where personal credit is like almost $60 trillion in this country.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to disagree with you partly on that one, Mr. Bianchi, because what I believe is that what happened was you use technology. So I'm going to use the same technology analogy with you in regards to my point of view. I believe that we became a society that wanted so badly to live beyond its means that we be, and in that became a consumer-based society. We had more and more people who had to have, you know, the extra car because the neighbor had the extra car, the nice house because someone else had the nice house. You know, kids had to have the hottest electronics or the best toys. We had become a consumer-based society, and the credit card companies, by no fault of their own, credit card company says, hey, there's an opportunity for you to buy those things that you want, and you pay it back later. And because we are a consumer-based society, we go out there and we seek out those credit cards, you know, so that we can get what we want now because we became a need-it-now society. You know, I call it the MTV generation. We become a need-it-now, the party of the society of excess, and we have to have all of those things. So the credit card companies, I don't want to blame them. I'm just saying that when American people want to have those things that others have and become a consumer-based society, then credit card companies, of course, benefit from that. Mary, what did you want to
say? But I wouldn't say it's so much a consumer-based society. It is a status-based society.
Oh, also, but
it does.
It spawns consumerism.
It spawns consumerism, but it is all status-based. It's based on, well, so-and-so has this, so I need to have this, or I need to have better. I need to at least be equal to. And that is what ended up happening to create all of this craziness for everybody to be like, oh, I have this, I have that. But then you may have this and you may have that to produce in front of other people, but then you live in a shack.
Right. You put yourself in an astronomical amount of debt. So, I mean, that, and I agree, like I said, I agree with you, Mr. Bianchi, but I believe that part of that I still have to place on the American people for falling into that consumer-based reality.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, too. And rather than the money being put on the wages, what it did, the capitalists turned around and lent the money back to them rather than, you know.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what it was. You go to the credit card company, you pretty much borrow money that you don't have, and then to pay that off, you take out a loan. So in essence, you're just borrowing the money that you've already loaned. I mean,
you're
already
borrowing. You're borrowing Peter to pay Paul.
Well, no, you're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. That's what it works out to.
Let's look at have you analyzed his budget?
I haven't had an opportunity to read most of the budget, but I've. What I do understand, which is very simple, and one of the websites that I look at often broke it down in such a way, and I love the way they broke it down because they use the average American income, which was saying if you're a household that pulls in $28,000 a year, you're spending $36,000 a year. In order for you to pay it off, you're only deciding to pay off $210 a month, but you're not going to start until next year. And that's the best breakdown that I can get for, you know, the American debt crisis.
And if you're only making $28,000 a year,
you're never going to pay it off.
You're never going to pay anything off. I mean, you're up crap's creek.
Yeah. Well, what was your point, Mr. Bianchi?
Well, I agree with you. You know, he's got $3.8 trillion budget.
Yeah.
And last year, the Treasury Department took in $2.3 trillion. So those numbers don't match out. They're dependent on the GDP to have a growth rate of 4% in the United States. United States have never seen a 4% of GDP. That type of growth is for developing countries.
Right. It's funny because we've never seen a GDP growth in some of our most prosperous times. And I can use the mid to late 80s as a perfect example. It's to one of our most prosperous times in recent memory. I would even go so far as to say, anything post-1996 during the Clinton administration, which, of course, afforded us a surplus. Mm.
It was a surplus on the annual budget. It wasn't a surplus on the debt because
on the debt,
Clinton
never
left. Yeah, Clinton's debt was like $5.7 trillion when he left office, the national debt.
Yeah, you know what? What's interesting is that even under President Clinton, he managed to do that in 8 years. We look at $4.8 trillion in 8 years under George W. Bush, and we break down the 3 years of Barack Obama at the point of $5.3 trillion. I still can't understand why this guy has an approval rating in the mid-40s. With those types of numbers.
I think that people want to believe in him. He speaks so well. He comes across to really caring about people. But I think that people are just oblivious to the actual facts and the actual numbers, like I was myself that voted for him. Now, Mr. Bianchi, did you vote for Barack Obama, if I may ask?
Well, yeah, I voted for him, but I won't vote for him again.
Yeah, I'm with you. Ditto. I concur on that.
The person I would vote for, I think that the only person to come up with some talking to sell the monetary problem with this nation is Ron Paul. But when you got the
I don't want to sound weird, Mr. Americans, you're going from one extreme to the other with Ron Paul, don't you think?
Well. If you just had a heart attack and everything stopped, would you want to be shocked lightly or given a big jolt to get you back going again?
This is true.
Okay, fair enough example. Our resident Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery, is on the line with you, Mr. Bianchi. And as a reformed Barack Obama supporter, do you care to at least enlighten this man who I believe is a stalwart Obama supporter and to let him know where it is that you came from and where you were as far as a supporter and what brought you, you know, to the right side of things, if I may say?
Well, I started looking at the economics of the whole picture. You know, really, Barack never intended on handling the recession. He just wanted to do something different. But his handling of the recession has been totally, totally terrible. And I think, have you analyzed what do you think is pulling him in the direction that he's been going? You think it's influence from, I mean, it has to be influence.
Well, I would say read two very relevant books. One by him and another by, I want to say Dashish is his name, but it's called The Roots of Obama's Rage. Look up that book on Amazon or even pick it up at your local library. It's called The Roots of Obama's Rage. The gentleman who wrote it is a conservative writer. He is of Indian descent. It's a brilliant book. But he breaks down Obama's book, which is the second book I'm going to bring up, Dreams of My Father. And I say read both of those books because what I believe that if you really listen, and pardon me, if you really read the background of Barack Obama and where he gets his ideology from, it's clearly written in his own books. In the Audacity of Hope, where he talks about Jeremiah Wright, he quotes Jeremiah Wright at one time saying this quote, that more food was being wasted on a cruise liner, you know, like one of those, you know, Caribbean cruise liners, than Haiti has for a year. There's more food in a day on a Caribbean cruise liner wasted on that ship than Haiti sees in a day. So that's where his ideology comes from. And if you really read the background of his Kenyan father and even of his Indonesian stepfather, and when he talks about in his book how he worked in the corporate world for a little while and he called it working behind enemy lines, these are his own words. These are his background. This is his background. And I think that he believes that America is fundamentally responsible for the injustice, not just here, but across the globe, that he believes that America is imperial.
And Reese, I'm glad that you brought that up because you and I talked about this before. It's almost like, do you feel like he's trying to destroy America because he feels like we are at fault for every other problem in this country, and that's why he doesn't, you know, salute the American flag, or he doesn't hold his right hand up, you know, when we're saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So it's in the beginning, I think I was like, okay, you know, whatever, it's the Pledge of Allegiance. So what? He doesn't want to do that. It's no big deal. But it's almost like now I've been enlightened and I see the whole point of it. And as an American, you should be proud to be an American and not disrespect our country, you know, regardless of who you are, what your religion is, so on.
But I don't think that he disrespects it. I don't think that he believes that the United States owes some penance to the rest of the world or the downtrodden or those who are disenfranchised.
Where do you get that from?
I don't understand that. James, go on. No, let James speak. James, you have to read his books because he talks about those fundamental changes in his own words.
Fundamental change, okay, but no matter how, well, first and foremost, since I haven't read the book, I can't comment on that.
Okay.
But I see nothing from what the man has done while he's been in office that says that he hates America or he's trying to destroy America.
Well, I didn't use the word
anything. He's wanted to.
I think that the man used the words hope and change because he does believe that he wants to fundamentally change the scope of how we do business in America and to help those who he believes have been disenfranchised.
And on a global matter.
And let's not forget that he's not the only one who thinks so.
But it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. The fact of the matter is that as the leader of our country, I think it's relevant that we discuss or at least and pay attention to who the leader of our country is and what road he is trying to fundamentally lead us down. Let me do the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Mr. Bianchi, will you stick around with us?
Yeah, I have to stick around.
Okay, thank you very much, and we appreciate your call. The number is 347-308-8701. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll do top of the hour, and we'll be back shortly.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeps white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And welcome back to Reese on the Radio Live right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's just 5 minutes after the hour. And we're, of course, talking politics, as we always do. We got a caller. No, I'm kidding. I love it when we do it. The number is 347-308-8701. An opportunity to get a caller is always get more and more people involved in the show, and we are happy to do that. Don't forget, log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com and send us an email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. You can find us on Facebook at Reese on the Radio, and you can send us or follow us on Twitter at Reese on Radio. I still can't figure out how I'm going to get Reese on the Radio. I'm going to figure it out when I can. But we'll bring James back in. James, I mean, what do you think about what Mr. Pianki just said so far about him changing his support for Barack Obama? Do you think he's misguided, or do you think he makes any valid points, or do you think that he's unjustly criticizing the president?
Look, I've always said that it is everyone's right to choose where you want to go. And if you truly believe that the man is not the man for the job, then vote the way you want. What I'm saying is, more often than not, these things are more esoteric, and where he's just constantly criticized for things that he couldn't do all by himself. And
when you say there were things that he couldn't do all by himself, I mean, what are you saying? Are you saying that he had help? You're saying that there are members of his team, you know, things like that. You're saying that are you suggesting that he didn't make all the decisions?
No, that's not what I'm saying, that he didn't make all the decisions, because if that's the case, then don't be the president. But the president still has to work in certain guidelines, and he has to work with the people around him.
Okay, so with that being said, James, excuse me. So, you know, again, we talked about this earlier, and Reese made this point earlier. Who was there for him to help him create these issues?
Yeah, create these policies.
And create these policies. The Democrats were there. His own party was there. So now for what has it been, a year?
It's his party.
A year, the Republicans have now won over
the House, right?
The House. So we're talking about, I mean, he's a Democrat, and the Democrats have been running the House. So him and his own party have been running the House. These people have
been
the ones.
They have been,
except for in the last year, James. He's been in office for 3 years.
Right.
Okay. In just the last year alone, and if you recall, and if you can think about anything that you've heard in the news, there's only been a ruckus, really, in about probably the last year since the Republicans have taken over that seat, have taken control of that seat. Of course,
because who is going to cause a ruckus? His own party is not going to cause a ruckus because they're all for the same thing. I think
Mary makes a valid point. I think that's what it is that I'm trying to get you to understand, James, is that everything he wanted he got in the first 2 years, and because there was a failure on that part, that is the reason why the Republicans were able to control the House, which is why they won the elections in November of 2010, the midterms. The reason why they did was because the policies didn't work. So the only people you can blame, in essence, are the American people who are dissatisfied by the job he was doing. And a lot of people have this, they use this guise. JC, I'll let you jump in a second, because I see you just chimed in. Let me just say this, was that people have a tendency to believe that the president of the United States is a puppet, that he will only go for policies that his party initiates. Truth of the matter is that the president has an opportunity to veto any bill that he does not believe in. This is the reason why Bill Clinton vetoed the welfare bill twice. Okay? The welfare reform bill was vetoed by the president of the United States twice and was eventually passed. So you get my meaning. It's like the president is not a puppet. He is not a pawn. The president has the ability to either, you know, to challenge the authority of the House or the Senate if he doesn't believe that to be the way that he wishes to go. Go back there and write me a bill that I can sign. That's the reason why he has a State of the Union address. This is why he constantly says, get a bill on my desk and I'll sign it. Get a bill on my desk and I'll sign it. This is my initial. This is my initiative. This is my State of the Union. Get that bill on my desk so I can sign it. I'll veto anything that such and such says. So please, he's not a puppet. In 2 years, he got the most sweeping health care regulation passed, and he got that stimulus bill that cost more than two wars passed in less than a month of his office. So how are we going to say this isn't his fault?
What I'm saying is, at least the man tried to do something. Everyone else was saying, let's put it into a committee. Let's push it off. He actually got in and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Instead of waiting, let's get it done.
And it failed.
Well, not everything works. Not everything works the way you expect it to.
And when it doesn't work, you should be held responsible.
And the man has taken responsibility for some of the things that he's done.
His exact words were, if this economy isn't on the right road in 3 years, it's a one-term proposition. Should we hold him to his word?
It's a one-term proposition.
That was his words. If the economy isn't on the right track by the third year of my presidency, then it's a one-term proposition. Should we hold the president of the United States to his own word?
I'm saying that a lot of other presidents have done worse and still got their chances. Give the man the chance.
Mr. Piotr, do you understand what I have to deal with my staff every day?
Well, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you.
Sure.
I decided the aisle has done what they should. They've been told failures, too, because those that was elected in 2010, you got at least two things that's going on here.
Sure.
You got politicians that I don't think that have the guts to do what they should do, because those that came in 2010 was sent with a marching orders, and I don't think they stayed with it. You've got
when you say the marching orders, can you explain who it is you believe those marching orders were from? Do you mean the Tea Party?
And Tea Party has a lot of good points in their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, like before there's a bill passed, at least 7 days that has to be brought to the American public so they can see exactly where it's, you know, what's going on. Also, it should be there should be clearly on how it's going to be funded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another thing, I do think that you have outside forces that's trying to tear the United States down, have been doing so for a long time, because we've seen these same sort of things going on in Germany back in World War I and going into World War II, and
When you say these outside forces, is there anyone specific that you would attribute that to? Or,
well, you got one big one here with that Bernanke sits at the head of. Man, come on, anybody that understand how that works.
Well, you're speaking clearly of the Federal Reserve.
Yes, I mean, why do we pay $217 billion last year for interest on the money, especially the way the money is going about being gotten? It just doesn't make any sense.
And I understand why you brought that up, because as you mentioned earlier, you are a Ron Paul supporter who believes that we should, and if I've gotten this correct, he believes that we should return to the gold standard. Do you agree with that as well?
Well, I agree that you got to get away from them. I don't think it's enough gold in the world to carry all the debt that we have.
It doesn't matter how high gold is going today.
But I think that you need to get off this foolishness where you're paying somebody else to print your own damn money. It's crazy.
Yeah, but if we don't have the Federal Reserve, and that's where the biggest problem comes in, and Ron Paul fails to mention this, the more money you spend, the amount of the dollar decreases. I used to teach this to a lot of young kids back like 2 years ago, and I explained to them, it's sort of like, and I told them, I said, if you sold basketballs, and I know you understand this, but I said, if you sold basketballs and you get 100 basketballs a week, but you only sell 5 basketballs and you still keep getting a delivery of basketballs, but you only sell 5 a week, after a while you have so many basketballs, after a while you can't sell the basketballs for its original asking price. You have to lower the price in order to get rid of them. So the value of the basketball decreases. That was the way I had to explain it to young urban kids, so that they got why you can't just print money. And what would we do as an American people if we just were able to – if we could just print money – to pay down this debt at $15 trillion, imagine what it would do to the value of the dollar. The dollar would be
I think you can't print it to pay down.
Is ridiculous.
Well,
anyway.
It is. That's because we're continuously printing it. But what was your alternative, Mr. Pianchi? I apologize.
I don't say you can't print it. You can't print money like that, but what can back your money is the resources that you have in the ground, for instance. You know, we're sitting on a lot of oil and other things. We have technology. So money can be printed based on the actual hard resources.
You are absolutely right, which is one of my biggest problems with this administration and administrations like it. You know, ANWR being one of the biggest problems that we have. There's more oil in Colorado, in sections of Colorado, than some sections of the Persian Gulf. You know, and forget about, the XL pipeline that, you know, the president completely, turned down, which would have produced hundreds of jobs and would have plummeted the gas prices in this country. One of the biggest problems we have in the United States today is that we consume more than we produce, which is effectively hurting our economy.
And we're paying.
Yeah, but what you produce, you export it.
Yes, exactly. We export everything it is that we consume, and we're producing nothing. That's what's creating our problem. Go ahead, Mary.
And we're paying, two or more dollars more now for gas than we were when this president was elected.
Well, he does understand that, but he's hoping that the economy will turn around to compensate for that price.
Well, but the American people are paying that price, and this, it can't continue to go on.
Do you think gas prices are going to, because everyone says that if gas prices reach $4 or $5 around summer, Bill O'Reilly said it great yesterday on a Today Show interview with Matt Lauer. He said that he still told Matt Lauer that if gas prices go up to $5, Matt Lauer could win the presidency of the United States. Do you think it's looking, you're in St. Louis, so I'm sure you drive everywhere. Does it look that way to you up there? I mean, what's your average price of gas up there?
Well, the gas here is $3.45 a gallon, but here's the
and in some places, Mr. Pianchi, the gas has actually reached $4 or more a gallon, like California and other places in the United States of America. It has actually reached that high, and it's not like it's the first time that it's reached that high, because it reached that high a couple of years ago,
2008.
and then it started to decline. And just here in the Washington D.C. metro area, The prices of gas have gone up in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Almost,
70 cents.
Almost, well, no, probably about 40 cents.
Well, I've heard different. Guy Pionge, Mr. Pionge, I apologize.
Well, if gas goes up to $10 a gallon, that just means that the people who control that industry is going to be able to last a whole lot longer.
Well, that's
exactly
true.
And if you actually, I heard a story a few weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, that I forget what big government contractor it is, has, you know, they have this car, that's this vehicle that's going to be coming out that can actually fly in the air. They have a prototype for this, and I'm
please tell me the relevance here.
Well, because maybe it's not going to be gas powered.
Right.
I don't know what kind of power it's
going to
use.
Gas is going to be the fuel for the next 100 years. There's no way alternative fuel is going to happen. But Mr. Pionge, I really, really appreciate you checking us out, and I guess it was glad that I used the tag current events. What industry are you in, if I may ask?
Well, I was a structural steel erector for nearly almost 40 years, over 35 years.
You sound a lot younger than a guy who's worked in that industry for years.
I used to erect buildings like the ones that fell down in 9/11. That's a whole nother story.
like the ones that we told them how to take us down, right?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I started putting those things up when I was 19.
Wow.
And you don't have many black people in the country that was doing that, especially that had their own company. I had my own company for the last 10 years. But I would have slept on the floor in the lobby of those any one of those buildings. Well, not the last one, not the third one, but those two tall trace. And I would have slept on the lobby floor, and you could have ran planes into them all day long. And I would have been very comfortable.
Really?
Yes.
Well, we appreciate you calling, and thank you for spending some time with us, and thank you for seeking us out. We hope you return.
Well, yeah, and keep up these type of discussions, because they're very well needed, because, you know, there's a lot of reasons, public schools and so on and so on and so on, but Americans just are not aware of the intricacies that they are going to be facing. And they need programs and people like yourselves that's having these discussions to, you know, to provide that type of information and make it as simple and as plain as you possibly can.
Well, that's what we aim to do. I believe that we should have what's called a common sense and a common ground approach to talking about these issues. There, a lot of the people in the industry, and I've been in it long enough to know, are very highbrow, and, you know, they enjoy being the smartest people in the room. You know, I don't believe that I'm the smartest person in the room. I have my approach to what it is that I talk about, and I always believe that the audience is just as smart, if not smarter than me, and I like learning from them. They don't always agree, and not that they change my mind, but they always give me another perspective. So it's always great to have callers like yourself and you know, call into the show and give their perspectives. And if I may ask, please spread the word if you can.
The other gentleman, you know, we got to put these emotions, we had to have the discussion, leave emotions at the door, because
thank you so much.
No, Mr. Pionge, we enjoy his passion. We like it, and the reason why I like it is because I understand how passionate people are about the issues. Again, like I said, being in this business so long, I've gotten yelled at, death threats. They've used the N-word against me. They've done everything, but I've never, ever shied away from that.
And I think that all of us, we would have hoped that Obama would have been successful, but I think it's just too many odds against, you know, him.
He doesn't hope.
Well, we would have hoped that everything would have went right. But
he never hoped.
I think he's doing a better job than McCain would have done. I think if McCain was elected president, we would have been going to war against the Chicago Cubs right about now. I'll see you guys later.
Thank you. We appreciate the call. And that was Mr. Pionge calling in from St. Louis, and we appreciate it. Number's 347-308-8701. I hope that he spreads the word. It was a great caller, James. So what do you think? You going to change your mind? Maybe join the ranks of Mr. Pionge? Come on. The man was willing to admit that he supported him. We wanted him to do better, but he failed the country. Come on. You don't get better.
But, you know, and I never got an opportunity to chime in.
Hmm.
He failed the moment
that he ran. I mean, clearly, clearly he's a junior senator with no real political background. And you're going to need a political background to wrestle Washington to begin with. Secondly, Obama failed. And then, like I said, I wanted to see him succeed. I really wanted to see him succeed, and for no reason other than color.
And you know what, JC?
Let me finish.
I
wanted him to succeed, except he surrounded himself by snakes.
Well, I don't want to say, you shouldn't say snakes. These people have the same ideology as him, JC. That's what I'm trying to get James to understand.
Well, on the same token, Reese, and this is just my opinion. I believe when they saw the momentum that Barack Obama had, that is when they decided to get behind him. Look how nasty Obama versus
Hillary
had become.
But it got more. It was nastier with her than it was with him. He really didn't go. I mean, come on.
He surrounded himself with her. These are people that wanted to see him fail. Okay, he's got the momentum going in, and we can just get him in for one term. Maybe we can lose the White House 4 years. We'll get it back in 8 years.
Okay, but
there's none of us right now at this point can beat him.
Now, but JC, in the same token, listen, believe me. Even though I'm not an African American or Black woman, I felt the same way. I wanted him to succeed. I wanted him to succeed. Like you would, I probably wanted him to succeed more than you did as a Black man.
Because
I wanted to show my.
He wasn't gonna succeed. With the devil on. When you have two devils on each shoulder.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't again as you did, Mary, and as a lot of people did, and even as Samuel L. Jackson.
You voted on a motion.
Has admitted he voted. You know, yeah, exactly. You may have voted on a motion,
I didn't vote for him because he was Black. I voted for him because I believed what he said.
I'm going to take a break. When we come back, let me ask you a question. When we come back, I'm going to ask you an honest question, and I'm going to get you very vulnerable here. I'm going to catch you in a very, very vulnerable state. Let's get back and let's talk about what Samuel L. Jackson said about the fact that he voted for him because he was Black. And you say that you didn't, but I think I'm almost certain of it. We're going to take a break. I'm almost certain of it when we get back.
For me? For Mary?
With Mary. I'm almost certain, Mary, that you voted for him, and there was a considerable percentage of you that voted for him because you were Black, not just because you thought that he could bring change. Because, see, you, I know, have a little partiality to, you know, to color. I know you do.
Listen.
Like, talk to me like I don't know.
She Harlem shook all the way into the booth.
Exactly. We'll take a break. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Today does mark the beginning of the end.
The most sweeping economic recovery package in history. The package is the right size, it is the right scope, it has the right priorities to create 3 to 4 million jobs. The federal government is the only entity left with the resources to jolt our economy back in the light.
3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years.
Look at me. The stimulus is working.
Meaning 8 out of every 10 stimulus dollars for wind power have gone to foreign companies.
Not even a good junk bond.
Unemployment is still very high.
It appears that 1.2 million people dropped out of the labor force in 1 month.
Well, I'm not going to say the recession is over until the unemployment rate is down to normal levels, certainly in the 5% range.
It knew the cars would be assembled in December.
The FBI raided bankrupt
Flendra. Jobs in China.
$700,000 to create joke-telling software.
I didn't overpromise.
Shovel Ready was not as shovel ready as we expected.
The Republican National Committee.
Have you lost your mind? I mean, how is it that you can disrespect a man's ethnicity when you know we've influenced nearly every facet of white America, from our music to our style of dress, not to mention your basic imitation of our sense of cool. Walk, talk, dress, mannerisms. We enrich your very existence, all the while contributing to the gross national product through our achievements in corporate America. It's these conceits that comfort me when I'm faced with the ignorant, cowardly, bitter, and bigoted who have no talent, no guts. People like you who desecrate things they don't understand when the truth is you should say, thank you, man, and go on about your way. But apparently you're incapable of doing that. So, and don't tell me to be cool. I am cool. Racial epithets. Why does it always come down to that? Huh?
I wish Black History Month was over already. And I don't mean over at the end of the month. I wish Black History Month was over for all time. I know. I just spoke heresy in the eyes of liberals and Afrocentrics. I don't care. And I can hear them now accusing me of making a statement I made so I can get approval and acknowledgement from white folks. Really? Aren't you the ones who demand to have a month set aside so white folks can acknowledge you? You're the ones desperate for recognition from white folks. You want these white Democrats to give you reparations and affirmative action and whatnot. I don't need any of these things you demand from white folks. I don't need a feel-good month set aside for me. I'm happy about being black all year long. I celebrate being an American all year long. I don't need a month set aside for me to boost my self-esteem. As the saying goes, Jesus already thinks I'm to die for. Why would I celebrate Black History Month when it would be racist to have a White History Month? I mean, to be fair, American history is pretty much taught to us as white history. So we really don't need a White History Month. But the reason why we don't know that much about black history is because the school system is dominated by the Democrat Party, who has a history of segregating black people. So it only makes sense that they would segregate a month for black people. And in this special month, Democrats oversee what you know about black history. And one thing they don't want you to know about is the true relationship of blacks and Republicans and blacks as Republicans. Along with Black History Month, I do not like having channels like BET when it would be seen as racist to have WET. But again, to be fair, television has always been white entertainment television. Hollywood is totally racist, and they're dependent on keeping people in a certain box so as to maintain their entertainment formula. White liberal mecca Comedy Central calls themselves throwing black folks a bone with their new comedy show called Key & Peele. Now, I get called a sellout while Key & Peele happily take money to promote the so-called black stereotype on Comedy Central. Look, y'all, I totally understand that we have some cultural differences, and it's a beautiful thing about our country worth celebrating. But giving a culture special treatment leads to resentment, not celebration. Y'all, there are many black heroes to celebrate in American history. I'm not saying you shouldn't acknowledge and learn about them. I'm saying that the black community has settled for a month as if it were a tribal reservation on a calendar. Or even worse, it's a February plantation where the Democrats milk their stock for voter loyalty. I'm Alfonso Rachel for Zone Nation, where we conservative blacks don't celebrate black history once a year. We make American history every day.
There was once upon a time that to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a little bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning, and when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before. So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
It's Reese on the Radio. We are back live on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. Bring the crew back in. They're behind the scenes watching. They're watching wrestling. I don't know what. Is there wrestling on? Is there wrestling on?
You can't see me.
Is my man John Cena wrestling today?
Oh, he's tongue locked with somebody's woman today.
Oh, I do. Yes, I did see that. I saw that piece of information.
Disgustingness.
Whatever. It was funny. It seemed interesting to me.
As long as it wasn't Vince McMahon himself, we're good.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. The number is 347-308-8701. And, of course, check us out on ReeseOnTheRadio.com and send us an email at ReeseOnTheRadio@Yahoo.com. And when you go to blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio, you can catch our Twitter account, the website, and, of course, everything else. You can't catch the email address on there. I'd have to figure out how we can do that. We'll find a way to do that. But anyway, ReeseOnTheRadio.com, and it is not Reese with a C. It is Reese with an S.
Like Reese's Pieces.
There you go. Like Reese's Pieces.
So
I always have to deal with that.
Covered in chocolate.
It's like everything
the
about...
under 250 calorie Reese's.
I'm under 250 pounds.
The low carb, low calorie.
That's what it is. It's Reese under 250 pounds because I gained so much weight over the last year. I was up to 235. That's how bad I was.
And where are you at now?
I think I'm somewhere around 217.
Okay, we're done in 23 minutes. Yeah. What are we going to cram into these 23 minutes?
Oh, we're going to recap the show, of course.
And we're going to do
Well, you know what? Hold on. I apologize. We still have Friday Night Dance Party, but James didn't call in yesterday, and I promised him this week. Unfortunately, he had some other stuff to deal with. I promised that James Montgomery would get an opportunity to do something that I gave JC an opportunity to do yesterday. So let's do therapy.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Murphy. And maybe I
Murphy.
Seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe. But I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
That's
what
right.
What is a boy to do?
When you hear tossed salad and scrambled
eggs. Good night, everybody.
Great. Oh, the therapy Thursday. But today it's on a Friday. And James had promised us yesterday that he was going to get into a therapy problem that he wanted the rest of us to solve. And for those of you who have just tuned into us, of course, like Mr. Piansky, Therapy Thursday. Pianki, I apologize. Mr. Pianki, I apologize. Please forgive me. Continue to listen. I apologize. Mr. Pianki.
Home of the White Cat.
What we do here on Therapy Thursday is that we are not the omnipotent ones. We are just like everybody else, and what we say is pretty much that we've got our own problems, and we invite people to call in and tell us how to solve our own personal problems. So it's my problem, you deal with it. So I will let the audience play therapist for my struggles. But it's usually me who does Therapy Thursday, but now I'm extending it to the crew, and James has an issue that he would like us to look over, analyze, and give him some. James, what is your issue?
Well, my issue is the prevalence in this country to label anyone as, or any male, as a deadbeat dad.
Well, okay, so are you saying that men are just labeled deadbeat dads, or is there something that sort of contributes to that? Yeah, that constitutes it. Exactly. Thank you, Mary. That constitutes that monarchy.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm thinking that there aren't as many quote-unquote deadbeats as this system wants to make out. It's almost as if they put you in a position where no matter what you do, you're still the deadbeat, or you're just trying to get over.
And to skirt your responsibility.
Or shirk your responsibility. And then they put these obstacles in your way to where if you don't jump over the hurdles fast enough or high enough, you're somehow less than, or you're just not even trying at all.
James, I have to, Reese, if you let me jump in, because I know you're like bitten.
Well, I have a question.
I know you're biting at the nails get into this.
Go ahead.
James, if this is one thing that we can agree on, I see your point.
Need you for that. To agree with him? I don't need you for that.
No, but I see his point. Because a lot of, and this is my issue, and we've talked about this before, and I've said this before. I think that a lot of women that are not with their baby's daddies or their husbands or ex-husbands or whatever, and they have children with them, if they're not together anymore in a unit, that the women tend to be more prone to use their child as a pawn. And when that happens, you then, based on the woman's actions or reactions, then become this deadbeat dad. It's almost like she can make you into a deadbeat dad because she's doing everything to you that she can to make you seem like you're a deadbeat dad. She's not giving you any other options. And women, as women, I reach out to you as a woman. Maybe I don't have kids, but I've been in that position before where I was going to have kids.
Okay, we've had enough.
But anyway, whatever, Reese. But I mean, I reach out to you just like I reach out to people that make false rape claims and so on. Don't do that to
men.
Allow them to be dads.
I'm going to give you a little bit of clarity here. And again, because I know your personal position, let me throw something at you. Because of what it is that you had to go through with your situation.
You're fading out.
Oh, I said, considering what it is that you had to go through, would you say that this would possibly gear you towards doing something like, I don't know, maybe in the future, not having a child out of wedlock?
No.
Because
if it was just that cut and dry, I'd say, yeah, why not? You know, just not even have sex anymore, you know?
I didn't say that. Now you're going extreme.
I'm saying
put an aspirin between your knees.
If it was that cut and dry, but it's not. And you can't rewrite the past anyway. So,
well, I'm not suggesting to rewrite the past. What I'm saying is that if more and more men saw the obstacles that you had to go through to take care of a child of yours and how they were demonizing you, demagoguing you, vilifying you, whatever it may be, that they would understand that it would probably be beneficial for them to be in solid and productive relationships where they got married and in some cases maybe worked the marriage out, because once you leave that marriage that a child is in, that you go through the ordeals that you had to go through. I mean, if I saw marriage from your eyes, or if I saw your life, and let's say I was single and I was young, and I saw what you were going through, and you and I were friends. Let's say I was in my 20s, you were in your 40s, and I were watching you, and I saw what you went through. First thing I would say was, okay, if I marry somebody, this has got to be somebody I'm with forever. If I'm going to have a child with that person, I can't get in this situation where a divorce and I'm going through this baby daddy and child support thing. you could be a shining example as to what people should and shouldn't do.
But you know what, Reese? This is my take on as a female and watching other women do this all the time. Even if you are in your 20s and you get a woman pregnant, or whatever age you are and you get a woman pregnant, the bottom line is that child should be your number one concern. But women don't do that.
Well, people are human.
Women
they have a tendency to be selfish.
People are human. All right,
women
now you just said
ability to induce that selfishness because they have this pawn that they're waving.
Oh,
over
I'm not disagreeing with
like,
you.
It doesn't make any sense.
You
and
think
I
I'm disagreeing with you, but
no,
I'm not.
I don't think that you're disagreeing with me. I think that women need to wake up and say, "Hello, the kid is the most important here," because in the end, the kid's going to grow up hating you anyway.
But remember, the kid has nothing to do with the situation where woman and man get they split up.
Exactly.
No, no.
It doesn't.
Of course. And when a woman splits up with a man, the one thing that she's thinking about, and it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a child with a child or childless, when you are done with a guy and you have not split up amicably, your relationship is probably in an unfavorable way, and it is about revenge. It doesn't matter whether or not.
But it shouldn't be when there is a
I'm
child.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
But it cannot be when there is a child
not disagreeing with
involved.
You. Not disagreeing with
the child involved.
It's not even just women. I don't want to just label that on just women, because if that was the case, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in. If it was just between me and her, there wouldn't be this situation, because even though we're no longer together, we are still amicable. We still, when we talk, we talk about our child, and we try to be as civil as possible. My situation didn't come from revenge or a woman. My situation came from our judicial system.
Yeah, but the
judicial system still wants to see me as nothing more than someone trying to run.
No, the judicial system would have never been involved had this woman not even used involved.
No, wrong.
No,
because
if she has to make the complaint first, James, she has to make the
complaint. She didn't make the complaint.
So whom did?
If you'll let me finish.
Go ahead.
She never made a complaint against me. What happened is she was in another state, and she had garnered Medicaid for our daughter.
Right.
All right. Now, the system decided that since I was a non-custodial parent, that money that they gave her for the medical situation had to come from somewhere. That is not what I'm saying. All right. So they came after me and said, okay, well, this is what you have to do. You're paying child support. We're going to give you the court order for the child support. Actually, I was given a choice on whether I wanted to pay it out of pocket or have it court ordered and taken out my paycheck, which follows my Social Security number.
What did you choose?
I chose to have it taken out of my check. This way.
So your wages were garnished? Your wages were garnished.
I chose to have my wages garnished because it was a decision of mine, simply because I said, well, as long as I'm working, she gets her money. It's her money. She deserves it. Fine.
Fair
right?
enough.
And if I don't see it, I don't miss it. So I don't.
But wait a minute.
Hold
on. James, I got to stop you. I'm sorry. For 2 seconds. You said that the people who were garnishing your wages were child support that was derived from Medicaid. So she wasn't getting her money. Medicaid was getting your money. This money wasn't going to your daughter.
No. They'll split it up. They split it up.
Was that what was happening?
It's like this is what happens. The government is not going to pay for something for you or for your child.
Like, say, for example, if they took, for example, $90 a week from him, she's not going to get that 90. She may see 40 of it, but 50 is going to go towards the arrears.
Okay, so the arrears would have been what?
What was owed for Medicaid.
For Medicaid. Okay, so
right. So
are you saying, James, that the money that they took from you, a portion of that money went to the child?
I'm not even sure how much went in. All I know is...
No, I mean, that was just an example.
Yeah, I know you...
But that's his way of them never being able to come after him and say he didn't pay because it's coming out of his check.
But remember what James says in the beginning. He says that the mother of the child goes to get her Medicaid, and Medicaid is the one who then went after the father. In
and all the mother had to do was say, I don't know who the daddy is.
Well, I'm not suggesting that she defraud the government. I'm not suggesting that. But yeah. Again, if the Medicaid is the one that's getting the money.
Well,
the
it didn't matter if she said that because my name is on the birth certificate.
That's right.
It wasn't like they couldn't find me anyway.
Understood.
It wasn't like
all I'm asking is who was getting your money? Who were the people tracking you down?
Well, Frank, I still don't understand that. I still don't know that.
Sounds like how that works.
And I'm listening. Right. I'm listening to what it is that you're saying, James. And the people who sound like the ones who believe that they deserve money, and the ones that were tracking you down, and the ones that were holding you responsible, appears to be the federal government. That's what it sounds like to me. And that's the reason why it's not about.
And did I not just say that?
No. But in that regard, that's not about them calling you a deadbeat dad. That's about them collecting.
Yes.
No, it is not.
Actually, yes, it is.
Because but forget about what the judge says. The judge doesn't say. The judge can say anything he wants to. But the federal government is saying somebody has to pay for it. If this man's alive, we're going to collect.
Yeah. We want our money. We're not doling out this money for free.
Federal government says that you owe them money. They are coming to collect, James. This isn't about. I think you're taking this on.
Never said anything against that.
I know, but you're taking it on a personal level that you're saying that because the government wants
their
money.
If I can finish.
Go on.
I'm taking it as a personal thing. Now I understand the money had to come from somewhere, and that was fine. However, it's these hoops that you have to jump through, or the fact that if you miss a little, then they start coming after you, and it doesn't matter what situation you're in or what your circumstances are. All they see is, okay, you're not paying, then we're going to lock you up.
Yeah, it's like, okay, regardless of whether you're employed or unemployed or whatever, if you can't afford to pay us, we don't care what your circumstances are. We don't care what any kind of prerequisites is. If this, you know, this is what we've mandated you to do, it doesn't matter. We don't take anything else into consideration other than the fact that you owe us money because we've been paying on medical expenses for this child.
But I want to address.
We take anything and everything that you have.
But I want to address what James said in the beginning of his therapy session. He said that they make you feel like a deadbeat dad. And I have to be honest with you, as your therapist, James, that you are taking a personal approach to something that is systematically bureaucratic.
But it's hard
no,
not
no, no,
to
no,
take
no.
that
it is,
in a personal
approach. No. Nobody in the federal government, no one in the local government. You are making something personal that is just bureaucratic.
But it is affecting his personal life.
No. Of course it's affecting his personal
James
life.
Now, James and I have spoke before, and he told me that, if you don't mind me saying this, that you have to take classes.
Of course he does.
You have
let's give the audience this just to rundown on what happened.
You have to do all these crazy things.
Good, you got 8 minutes. Go.
To jump through all these hoops that aren't helping you pay.
Let him tell the story. Let him tell the story. Go ahead. Can you break it down to 4 minutes? Can you do it in four?
4 minutes. Okay, well,
first and foremost, say it.
In the last couple of months, I have been incarcerated, and when I was incarcerated, putting me in the position where jail is supposed to deter. At a time, I had just lost my job. I had went to court for child support because the money dried up, and so they had me come in and explain why. I had just lost my job. My unemployment had run out, and I was just doing, like, little odd jobs, day work. So, but at least there was something coming in. So, you know, even with my day work, there was still something coming out of any paycheck I got.
Well, okay, so to sum up, you were making some income.
Right, some income.
Go on.
All right, I was brought before the judge. The judge had told me, okay, well, fine. After explaining what had happened, I was told that I would be given 6 months, I think it was 6 months, and if I was, and in his own words, that I had to have a job that was paying the initial child support order and arrears, or I was going to jail.
Now, and?
When I went back to court in that 6 months, I had the job. I'd been working there for a couple of months. The money was coming out, both the arrears and the initial support. I was then incarcerated because of noncompliance before.
Oh, you mean the pre-noncompliance, even
uh-huh.
after you had gone to court and they told you under no uncertain terms, you know, look, here's the deal, go get a job, pay this support, and you'll be okay. But they mm-hmm. ended up incarcerating you for the time that you were unemployed. Therefore,
correct.
In essence, what they were doing was a backwards move. You know, here it is, you're paying the arrears, you're paying the money, they're receiving their money, but they decide to incarcerate you for back pay. For back pay.
They didn't even say back pay. They just said noncompliance.
Well, but the bottom line was, let's take the semantics out of it. The bottom line was, for back pay that you didn't pay when you are out of work for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is, James, and again, you started this off in the beginning, and I believe that I paid close attention, but was that, you know, your argument was the fact that they made you feel like you were a deadbeat dad. But in essence, it appears that you were a victim of bureaucracy within our government. That's clearly the bottom line. And you're taking this on a personal level because it involves somebody personal in your life, and now bureaucracy has played a role in that, so you can't help but take this personally. What I would say is this. This is the best way for you to deal with this. As your therapist, what I suggest you to do is to not let what it is that happened on a bureaucratic level affect you with who it is that you are as a man. In no way have they marginalized you as a man and a father. In no way have they emasculated you as a father. You are a father. What they think of you, whether it be their view as a deadbeat dad or whatever it is just someone's view, and they don't have the power over you to label you in that way, and don't give it to them.
Now, with all that being said, James, I'm gonna ask you a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
Were you paying child support before any of this took place? Is this were paying child
again,
support?
Again, that was the decision. That's why I made the decision of having it taken from my paycheck.
Well,
No, he answered it. No,
what he's saying was he had a job, he lost his job, so there was a period that he could not pay, and that's what they penalized him for.
Is that what you're saying, though, James?
Yeah.
Were you paying before you were ever mandated to pay? Or did you...
I'll clear it up for you.
No, wait.
Let me explain to you what he said. He was paying what he was mandated to pay. He lost his job.
Was he paying prior to that? That's my question.
No. When she went and got the Medicaid and he was mandated to pay, he was paying. As he was paying, he lost his job, so therefore there was a lag in payment. There was a lag, so to speak.
But were you paying prior to any court mandate?
No.
No, I was not.
But that's not the reason why they incarcerated him.
Excuse me, but okay, why were you not paying? If you...
He had no contact with her.
No contact whatsoever.
He had no contact with her. So when he was...
You didn't know where she was. You didn't know where your daughter was. You had no...
No.
Did you look for them?
It has nothing to do with the thing.
But I'm sure... Did you look for them?
But yeah. It has nothing to do with the issue.
Enough. Were you looking for that?
I'm trying to understand why that's pertinent.
Because
how was I to look for it? When we broke up,
Facebook.
When we split apart, the one thing she said was, being that we were not together anymore, there was no reason for her to stay in New York. This was also after she tried to for a reconciliation, but it wasn't happening. I wasn't going to go through the situations we were going through again. But one thing I always said was I would be there for my daughter.
And you were, James, and I understand what you're
saying.
Right up
until the point where she ran.
No, again, we agreed.
With my daughter and she left.
I agree with you. We've only
tried to stop it. I was told I didn't have any rights.
Guys, we've only got less than a minute left. James, as I said to you, we'll end it. We'll see you guys next week. But the bottom line is that, listen, you did what it is that you were supposed to do, and they were the ones who went after you. Yes, they were wrong, but in no way should you let them dictate in any way who it is that you are as a man. In no way should you let them.
Kind of hard to do.
We got to go. We got to go. We got 30 seconds, and I still didn't do a two-minute dance party today. I cannot believe
it. We'll pick it up on Monday, but listen, quick note, tomorrow Centric is going to run the funeral.
Yeah, I know, but let's play a little bit of Whitney Houston before we go.